Good evening. This is Pigskin Picks, brought to you by Food City, Delegate Terry Kilgore, and Eastman Credit Union.
Welcome in here to Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM on a Thursday night. Jacob Towns and Corey Sanchez, Zach Helton here with you. As always, got a packed show for the night as we've made it to the penultimate week of the regular season in Southwest Virginia. We are going to talk about the game we have on WAXM on Friday night. That's Union and Abingdon. Their two coaches, Travis Turner and Garrett Amberger, will join us coming up later on in the show. We'll also recap Abingdon's big win over Ridgeview last week and a few other games in the week 9 edition of Southwest Virginia football last week. Northeast Tennessee, they're in their final week, as is Eastern Kentucky. Big game going over. Hey, there's a couple big games going on over there in Tennessee this week, but we're going to dive deeper into Greenville-Elizabethton. Their coaches, Eddie Spradlin and Sean Witten, will join us coming up later on in the show as well. We'll also recap what happened in college football last week as well. Tennessee's meltdown in the second half in Tuscaloosa. Hello, Virginia. Hello. Big win for them. A top 10 win on the road for Tony Elliott and the Cavaliers as they knock off the North Carolina Tar Heels in Chapel Hill. We'll do our eliminator as always. Also joining us will be from NFL on Fox, Kenny Albert. He'll join us to talk some NFL, his career. We'll talk about his dad, Marv Albert, in that interview as well. And, yes, we will get some Tony Siragusa stories of the late, great Goose that Kenny did 8 years of Fox games with him and Daryl Moose Johnston as well, as we continue here this evening. And we'll have our Eastman Credit Union guest picker, which is the legend, the former head coach of the Hayside Tigers, now analyst on Friday Night Rivals with Casey Getz on WCYB, Fox Tri-Cities, and CW. They have the game this Friday night on CW, Virginia High at Lebanon. James Colley will be our Eastman Credit Union guest picker this evening as well. We are going to hit on everything, fellas. I'll start off, though, with how are you, Zach Helton?
Jake, if I was doing any better, it'd be illegal. Fun fact, though, I had one person a few years ago call me the trailer park version of Marv Albert.
Wow.
In a compliment. Yeah, and I took that as a compliment, yeah, as I think I should have. If you mention that to Kenny, that'd be cool.
Yeah, well, you know what, Kenny, when I sent him the email a few weeks ago about joining the show, he's like, get back in touch with me on this date. And I said, okay, I can do that. I can get back in touch with you on that date. But it was wonderful to talk to him about him and his dad and his career. The trailer park Marv Albert. I think that is a compliment. I said it back to myself. Yes. I think it absolutely is for the mayor of Raven. Corey, how are you, sir?
Well, you know what? If I was any better, I could sink my teeth into it. So, yes, I am good, gentlemen. And the sky is falling in Washington. But you know what? Hope is still looming.
And who does the preseason games?
Ron Rivera, we trust.
There you go. Jonathan,
no, we don't.
Jonathan Allen, maybe not as much these days. Corey, is Kenny Albert still doing the preseason games for the Commanders?
No, he is not. Oh. He is not. We haven't had Marv Jr. on there in a while. So, last year was the last year he didn't do it. But we had Brian Mitchell and Chick Hernandez. Ooh, that left a lot to be desired.
Yeah. I've nothing against Chick. I've seen him do a couple of college games for CBS Sports Network. That's all I'm going to say. But yes, Kenny spent a long time there in the D.C. area, former voice of the Capitals, as well as years past in his career. But fellas, let's go ahead and dive deeper into what happened this past week in Southwest Virginia High School Football Week 9. My guys, are you kidding me? We're into late October, heading into the final weekend. We got Halloween coming up on Tuesday. I'll ask you guys a couple of questions about that here coming up in a few moments. Abingdon Ridgeview, 49-14. Corey, we had the call on Friday night here on the station of the Falcons just absolutely trucking through the Wolfpack. We all had Ridgeview. Oops. Abingdon absolutely opened up the can on them early, and they left it open all night long. We were talking about a little bit off the air. It's been a long time since I've seen something like that while broadcasting a high school football game, Corey. What do you see and what do you remember from Friday night between the Falcons and the Wolfpack?
I remember hearing a very quiet Wolfpack stadium, and I've never heard that before. And it was just from start to finish domination by Abingdon. They got off on the bad foot, did Ridgeview with the punt that couldn't get fielded properly, and Abingdon had the ball right there in a Ridgeview territory. I think what it was until the second quarter, Jacob, if I'm right. No, it was like 4 minutes left in the first quarter before a down was even played
yep.
in Abingdon territory for either team.
Yes.
So that kind of told you, like, how that day was going to be. And Owen Barr ran like a warm knife through butter. And also Thompson as well came in there and mop up duty as well. And he had a couple of scores as well. And, you know, Abingdon's setting up really pretty for a game that we'll talk about later tonight when Union comes a call.
Yeah, Ty Knieven, they luckily just tell us, just you can call him Ty, for that one there for him as the backup when he met there for Barr. He had over 100 yards rushing, a couple of TDs for him as well. Owen Barr, 12 rushes, 145 yards, three touchdowns on the ground. He also had two catches, Zach, for 75 yards and a touchdown. Abingdon rolls over Ridgeview in what some people call a surprise. We all liked Ridgeview last week. I thought it was going to be a good game. I told somebody here at the station Friday morning, I thought it could be the best game we have all year on the station. Boy, was I wrong.
Yeah, and you know, we were wrong with our picks, which is, you know, sometimes normal. That's fine. But I really thought, you know, we kind of went back and forth last week. We thought this could go either way. And I, you know, not real surprised that Abingdon won, but I'm a little surprised on how they did it. Ridgeview's offense just kind of stuck in the mud and just something we really hadn't seen out of them all. Kudos to the Falcons going on the road, getting things done. And but, man, Ridgeview's got some work to do, and they've got a little time to work with. They've got to get it righted pretty quick.
Yeah, they got a bye week this week before Gate City comes to town next week, and then, yes, it's the playoffs. And Ridgeview, who was sitting there nice and pretty around that three spot there, maybe trying to see if they can find a way to catch up to Graham in the two spot, they now sit in the number four spot in the Region 2D playoffs. And if you lose to Gate City next week, chances are you're going to see the Blue Devils again and probably at Legion Field. That's how much things have changed here recently with how those points are looking there for the Wolfpack. It is tight there between them and Gate City in Region 2D. Honeaker gets by Patrick Henry 26-18. We all like the Tigers, Zach, but boy, it was a close one. They had to come back in the second half against Patrick Henry. We had questions about this Honeaker defense. They shut out the Rebels in the last two quarters. Honeaker stays undefeated.
Yeah, I think it was the test that Honeaker kind of needed. You know, sometimes teams that go undefeated kind of go in a little lackluster into the playoffs, and still, obviously, Honeaker's still undefeated. But I think this first half, you know, let down there at PH was kind of a shakeup that they needed. And I think it's going to carry them on through the season because, you know, I think their defense is their thumb right now. They've got to overcome that a little bit. But their offense, you know, when you got an offense like that, your defense usually doesn't have to do too much work. But PH made them work Friday, and I think this is going to help Honeaker in the long run.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I think Honeaker found out that their defense can stand up to a good offense, and that's what Patrick Henry is. Remember, we saw Honeaker score a couple weeks ago where they had to beat Narrows 74-51. They had the shootout against Rye Cove early on in the year as well. It's nice to see Todd Tiller's squad sort of stand up there on defense a little bit. We'll see how much they'll need it down the stretch of this season. Corey, the game we had on Thursday night on the station, Eastside over Thomas Walker, 28-18. Pioneers led most of the night, but the Spartans are who controlled the fourth quarter at Carl McConnell.
Well, you know, I'm glad we were able to calm some emotions and, you know, kind of like Zach has been saying all season, we're at Cumberland. We're very pro-Cumberland on the show and at this station. And we were able to get it on 93.5. I thought that Eastside came out there against Walker, and you know, they withstood the task. I thought that the Pioneers for like the first half ish in a first really half and some change, they were the better team, but they kept on letting Eastside stand in there. And ironically enough, we saw Chandler Cole, and they took every punch, and then they started swinging back, and they eventually won this game. They hung tough, did the Spartans, and a nice win on Thursday night for Mike Rhodes' squad.
Yeah, we did see Chandler up there in the press box in the pregame there prior to the kickoff. Eastside standing up big there in the fourth quarter, in large part thanks to their freshman running back, Keldon Hamilton. He's going to be really good moving forward. I've been told about him prior to the game. He lived up to it there in the fourth quarter. He had sort of a quiet first three quarters, but he had a big fourth there, including the touchdown to put the game on ice there in the last couple of minutes to win that game. 28-18 there for Thomas Walker. It is sort of easy to look back and go, you know, if Darren Gulley doesn't hurt us back, we had to miss some time on defense, didn't look 100% when he came back out there on offense, Corey. If he didn't get injured there on defense, could have Thomas Walker made a little bit of a comeback there prior to them having to give the ball back over to Eastside to put the game away? But, you know, what they say, ifs and buts were candy nuts. We'd all have a Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas.
Here on Happy Halloween. All right, other games in Southwest Virginia last week. J.I. Burton over Castlewood, 46-28. Myself and Corey were on the Raiders. Lehigh rolls over Central in the second half. It was close at the half, 24-7. We all had the Generals. Gate City gets by John Battle, 25-13. We were all on the Blue Devils. Marion sneaks by Grundy, 21-16. We all had the Hurricanes. And on Thursday night, it was Rycove over Chilhowee, 28-17. We all had Rycove. Last week, myself and Corey went 7 out of 8 in Virginia. Our guest picker, Andrew McClung from WCYB, and Zach Helton went 6 out of 8. Standings in Virginia, myself 68, 82.9%. Corey and Zach, 67. It's tight, fellas, 81.7%. In Northeast Tennessee last week, Dobbins Bennett rolled over David Crockett Friday night in the second half. Again, it was close at the half. David Crockett, though, falls apart in the second half against the Indians. Dobbins Bennett wins 28-7. We all had DB. Science Hill shut out Daniel Boone Thursday night, 48-0. We all had the Hilltoppers. Tennessee High kicks a last-second field goal to beat Westridge, 17-14. Out there on the interstate, Corey Sanchez was the only one of the Vikings. Unicoi County sneaks by Chucky Doak in overtime, 47-45. Chucky Doak scored a touchdown with 1 second left in regulation that tied the game at 39. They had the extra point that could have won the game. They missed the extra point against the Blue Devils. Unicoi County got ball first in overtime, scored the touchdown, went for two, got it. Chucky Doak scored the touchdown, the answer, but then got two false start penalties before they could try the two-point conversion. So they had to try it from the 13-yard line. They did not convert. They lose by two, 47-45. Myself and Corey had Unicoi County. And then it was Johnson County rolling over Holston in a cross-state battle, 43-6 on Thursday night. I was the only one on the Cavaliers. Last week, Corey went perfect in Tennessee, 5-for-5. Myself, Andrew, and Zach, 3 out of 5. Standings in Tennessee, I have 47, 81%. Corey, 40, 69%. Nice of you, Corey. And yeah. Zach, 39, 67.2%. In Eastern Kentucky, Virginia High rolls over Jenkins, 61-14. We'll leave all comments for that a later time.
Yay!
Bell County, I said leave. Hey, I said leave all comments for a later time. Thank you. Bell County over Clay County, 41-20. Zach was the only one on Clay. Betsy Lane defeats Pike County Central, 32-21. I was the only one on PCC. And it was Letcher County Central sneaking by Whitley County, 35-31. We all went Whitley County. That's an oops. Last week in Kentucky, Corey 3, Zach and myself 2 out of 4. Standings in Kentucky, I have 36, 70.6%. Corey and Zach 34 at 66.7%. Last week in high school, Corey 15 out of 17. I went 12 out of 17. Zach 11 out of 17. Our total standings on the year, I have 151 for 77.8%. Zach 141 for 72.7%. And Corey 137.70 for 70.6%. A little bit of a rally out of Sanchez last week, though. Nice showing there, Corey. Eastern Kentucky, week 11. Pineville's 2-7. They travel to Leslie County, the 5-4. Corey, can you keep the roll going here? Who do you like in this one?
Oh, let me go with Leslie Shepherd County.
LC for Corey. Zach?
Y'all go Leslie as well.
Leslie County at home. Leslie County for me as well. They've won 2 out of the last 3 in the series. They control the all-time series 5-4. They lock up a winning season. They get the 6-4. Paintsville's 4-5. They travel to Pike County Central, who's 5-4. Zach, Pike County Central started off really good this year. They fell apart lately, though. I think they've lost now 4 out of their last 5 games. They've lost 3 straight. Can they get right in the final game of the regular season at home against Paintsville?
Yeah, I'm going to go PCC at home.
Pike County Central for Zach. Corey?
Yeah, let's go PCC.
PCC burned me last week. I'm not going with them again. Give me Paintsville on the road. Paintsville leads this all-time series 5-0. They've outscored Pike County Central by an average of 38.6 to 11.8. Paintsville gets to 500, and Pike County Central starts a steep fall heading into the postseason. Knox County's 5-4. They travel to Middlesbrough, who is 6-2. Corey, who do you like?
Middlesbrough.
Middlesbrough at home. Zach?
Go Jackets.
Go Jackets for Zach. They have they lead this all-time series 27-5-1. They haven't played those since 2010. Knox County did win the last 2 in this series. That doesn't matter. Give me Middlesbrough at home. Belford travels to Letcher County Central. Zach, Belford 6-3, LCC 5-4.
man, I, you know, Belfry having a little bit of a down year, but I can't go against the landlocked Pirates of Pike County. I'm going to go Belfry.
There's not a bit of water near them, but they're the Pirates. I got to respect
it. There's the river.
Well, thanks. You got the river. You'd have the river, but, you know, good luck being a Pirate out there. But, hey, I'm a Buccaneer, so what can I say in Johnson City? Corey, who do you like there in Whitesburg?
Yeah, give me Belfry.
Belfry on the road. They lead the all-time series 2-0, but they haven't played since 2010. Only the third matchup ever. Give me Belfry on the road, though. Zach, you told us earlier before we started the show you're going to be Ron Burgundy for Halloween. Corey, what are you thinking there for the wonderful holiday on October 31st coming up on Tuesday? Your last one before being a father.
Yeah. Corey Sanchez will be starring as Corey Sanchez.
Wow.
There you go.
Wow, how boring of you, sir. How boring of you.
I'm like you, Jacob. I'm like you. So what are you going to
be a hog hit? Be a hog hit.
I will be some guy with glasses, probably some sort of sweater and shorts on. I don't know who would ever wear that all the time, but, you know, that's who I will be for Halloween. That's all I'll say. You know how I feel about the holiday, Corey. But, hey, trying to get in the spirit. I can't fake it, though. I'm sorry. These guys don't have to fake it. Their teams are really good. We're going to talk to Greenville head coach Eddie Spradlin, Elizabethan head coach Sean Witten, Union head coach Travis Turner, and Abingdon head coach Garrett Ambergy when we come back to preview their big games coming up on Friday night in both Northeast Tennessee and Southwest Virginia. After that, we'll be back and talk some college football, and we got to give away our Terry Kilgore Leadership Award. It's a good one this week. Get ready as we continue. It's Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXL.
Each morning I arrive while the world still sleeps, slicing fresh cuts of certified Angus beef.
Yeah, that's my food, City Butcher. I need your advice.
How about a gourmet burger with a little spice?
I'm hosting a cookout, and it has to sizzle.
Try ribeyes with balsamic glaze, but just a drizzle.
Nobody does food like Food City.
Delegate Terry Kilgore proudly serving Virginia's 1st District in the House of Delegates. Terry Kilgore is a loyal and proud supporter of Southwest Virginia schools, as well as the revitalization of our area that we love to call home. Visit DelegateKilgore.com to learn more about Delegate Terry Kilgore.
From boats and motorcycles to campers and so much more, great adventures are just a click away with RV loans from Eastman Credit Union. Plus, enjoy no payments for 90 days.
ECU helped us find the RV loan that we needed.
We chose ECU for our RV loan because they have such great rates. We think everybody should choose ECU.
Live your dream now. Apply today at ecu.org/fun. Eastman Credit Union.
We're here talking Virginia Medicaid with Misty Lee of Anthem Healthkeepers Plus. Misty, tell us why Medicaid renewals are so important.
Members who don't renew their Medicaid benefits will lose their health coverage.
What does a Medicare member have to do to keep their coverage?
The best thing they can do is make sure their mailing address is correct with the state. Anthem Healthkeepers Plus members can call 1-800-901-0020 and check their address. They also need to contact their local DSS office and make sure their address is correct in the state system.
Get more, save more when you start home projects at Duffield Lumber. Located at 421 Duff Pad Highway, Duffield Lumber carries building material, home hardware, and a full line of steel power tools. And prices you won't find anywhere else. At Duffield Lumber, customer service comes second to none. So go by and see Brad and his guys and let them help you with home projects or repairs. Also, just in time for the cooler temperatures, Duffield Lumber has heaters in stock and also offers propane tank refills. Duffield Lumber, go by or give them a call at 276-431-1582. Well, by the Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM. Jacob Townsend and Richard Corey Sanchez and Zach Helton will join us coming up in just a few moments. We'll talk some college football. Tennessee's meltdown in the second half against Alabama last week, as well as the Virginia upset of North Carolina. the biggest upset in the year in college football, and we'll also touch on some other topics there in the sport as we'll do our college football eliminator, including USC, I'm guessing, be on the move for me, I would think, in the next segment, as the Trojans have lost a second straight game now this past week, losing to Utah. We'll touch on all that there with Lincoln Riley and Caleb Williams and the Trojans as well. Also coming up, Kenny Albert with the NFL on Fox, as well as our Eastman Credit Union guest picker, James Cowley, the former head coach of the Hayside Tigers, now analyst on Friday Night Rivals with Casey Getz on WCYB, Fox Tri-City, CW here in the Tri-Cities. They've got Lebanon, Virginia High this Friday. That's around a third year of coverage. We'll talk to Coach there coming up in a few segments as well. This segment, though, we're going to get you set for some big games across the area here on a Friday night in high school football. Next to last week in Southwest Virginia, it's the final week in Eastern Kentucky and Northeast Tennessee. And speaking of Northeast Tennessee, we'll start there. The biggest game in that region, without a doubt, is the undefeated battle taking place in Carter County on Friday night at Citizens Bank Stadium in Elizabethton, where Greenville will travel with their 7-0 record to take on their rival, Elizabethton, who's 8-0. I caught up with both coaches this week, and we'll start off with the head coach of the Greenville Green Devils, Eddie Spradlin. They're 7-0. They've had an odd year. They've had a couple of games stopped in the middle of games due to weather, and they just act as if the games were never played against Dobbins, Benin, and Alcoa. They've had to play a game on a Tuesday night against Morristown West. Had to play two games in 4 days thanks to that fact they're against the Trojans. They've had an odd schedule, but yet they're still 7-0. Here's my conversation with the head coach of the Greenville Green Devils. They could set the take on the Elizabethan Cyclones on Friday night. Head coach of Greenville, Eddie Spradlin. Coach, this game gets moved this year to the final game of the regular season thanks to the TSSAA messing with the regional schedules this year. Are you a fan of that after playing this game so early in the year after so many years?
The last 2 years we played it, I believe, game three, which, we're going you'll be a lot different at game three than you are game 11 right now or week 11. So, we used to have it about 7 or 8, I think. So that was kind of right there in the middle because, at the end of the year, it's all the marbles. It means everything right now, especially this year. Both teams undefeated for the region championship. So it's a big-time matchup. But, wherever we play it, it's going to be a big-time game, so it don't really matter to us.
Us and the media always say leading up to this game that it's the deciding factor. It's going to decide the number one seed. But when you're playing the game in September, that's sort of marking off already a lot of things that are going to happen for the next 2 months. At this point, it is the defining factor of who will be the number one seed. How much of that do you bring up to your team in the lead up to the game Friday night?
We've talked about it yesterday in our team meeting just about, this means a lot for this football team. What's going to happen for you in the playoffs? You're going to be home for one round, or you're going to have opportunity to host 4 rounds. It's big. You want to be that. Our ultimate goal as a football team is to be Region 1-4A champ. So that's still on the plate for us on Friday night. So we're excited about that. But a bunch big time implications for this football game if you can come out on top of it.
I'm sure you're tired of talking about it throughout the season, but since we haven't spoke, I'll bring it up. And that is the fact of your team's went through some challenges this year thanks to the weather and the factor and the schedule this season, messing with a couple of your games that were scheduled to be played on a Thursday night against Alcoa, a Friday night game against Dobbers. But when you began those games, and then they got canceled, stopped, however you wanted to define it, due to the weather during those matchups, and they did not go down as contest. How much of that does play into the fact of your team where they have not been able to play the full 10-game schedule so far this year? You go into this game sitting there at 7-0.
Yeah, it goes again. It's not really, you say you don't play them, it just don't show up on the dang record at the end of the year. But, we played a really good Alcoa team. We played them for a half. Then we obviously got light and delay. We played a good Dobbins-Bennett team that we played 3 quarters. Both those games were in the locker room for, 2.5 hours, and the administration on both teams decided it'll be a no contest because they were going to come back up and play it again the next day. So, kind of rough. Then we end up playing a Tuesday night game and a Friday night game in the same week to get all our games in. So, it's been challenging. Last week we missed the dang day of practice because a state federal inmate happened here in town. So it's been a challenging season, to say the least.
Yeah, I'm sure that certainly is always something that you never quite can plan for when that kind of stuff happens in that way for your football team during the season. What's going to be the biggest key for your football team on Friday night, taking on a Sean Witten team that you all know very well over the past several years? You've faced them most years, except for last year, at least twice in recent years. But this time, all you got to worry about is the first time before you ever can worry about a second time on Friday night. What's going to be the biggest key when you go on the road to Elizabethton?
You know, you got to be a big key. We got to be able to take care of the football. We can't turn the football over. You know, it's going to be all right if we have to punt on fourth down. But you can't turn it over. You got to be able to, you know, move the football. Obviously, they're not giving up any points to anybody. You know, and in games it's been meaningful, they've not given up more than 7 points a game. So it'll be a big challenge for our offense defensively. You know, they're very good on offense, got a big physical offensive line. They're going to run the football hard. So it presents a big-time challenge for our football team.
That's head coach of the Greenville Green Devils, Eddie Spradlin, joining us here on Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM. Now, as we come out of the conversation there with Eddie Spradlin, head coach at Greenville, let's turn our attention to the team they're taking on, the home team in that matchup Friday night, Sean Witten and the Elizabethan Cyclones. A massive matchup for them as well, as they've won now 5 out of the last 7 in this series over Greenville. Can they make it 6 out of 8 and take that number one seed into the postseason? I talked about all of that there with Sean Witten coming up here in this conversation right here on Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM. Coach, we talked to Eddie Spradlin early on in this segment. I asked him the same first question I'll ask you. How do you feel about playing this game between two rivals with all that's at stake in this matchup in the final week of the regular season?
Well, it's different for sure. And regardless of what happens Friday night, you got to pick up your pieces and you got to move on and get ready for the playoffs. So it's extremely difficult. We would like to have this game maybe a little earlier, maybe week 9 or week 8. So might possibly have some weeks in between. We possibly could see each other again for the second time within less than 4 weeks. So that brings a lot of difficulty there. But, you know, we're both sitting where we want to be with a lot at stake, and we're pretty pleased with that.
What is it that changes about your preparation for Greenville than it was in years past, like in the last 2 years when you've played in September early on in the year, to now playing in the last week of October in the final week of the regular season? What changes about your preparation for the Green Devils?
Well, I don't know how much changes in the preparation as much as you're a completely different team, you know, 12 weeks later. And, you know, in 2021, mm-hmm. they got after us pretty good in the regular season game on Labor Day weekend. And then 12 weeks later, you know, we got them in third round of the playoffs. And I think that, you know, you grow, you evolve, you learn more, you mature. You kind of come into your own a little bit later in the year versus early in the year. I think you got a lot of green kids out there early in the year trying to get experience and trying to get them to grow up really, really fast. And I think a lot of times you need some opportunities for them to really grow. You know, some secondary guys try to build that depth, continuity amongst the offensive line. And I think here we are, last regular season game into November, October, you know, you are who you are. And you got to rely on, you know, what's gotten you here to this point. And what makes this a great game is there's a bunch of great football players. And I don't want to lose sight on that because, you know, without a lot of great football players, this wouldn't be a marquee matchup.
You bring up the growth that your team has had in years past from playing Greenville early to playing them late. What has been the biggest growth for this year's team since the early part of the year, where you beat Science Hill in week 1 to now playing in the final week of the regular season? What's been the biggest growth of the 2023 football team for Elizabethton?
Well, coming into this season, people knew our defense was going to be really solid. We knew we were going to be really tough on the defensive front. And what's really grown the most is the continuity amongst our offense and our special teams. We've been an outstanding special teams team with dynamic playmakers at the punt return and kickoff return positions. You know, we've kind of won a lot of the games to this point because our kicking game has been phenomenal. You know, we made 2 field goals against DB to win at mid-year. And then, you know, our offense has really kind of come on into his own. We've found some running game. Our quarterback is 8 games into the season with 2 bye weeks of preparation. You know, we know the things he likes to do early in the year. You know, we're keeping in the pocket a lot. You know, we were kind of protecting him some. You know, now we've kind of cut him loose a little bit to where he's a dual threat quarterback.
you bring up now getting to play this game at home, and you know the home field advantage, Elizabethan, as well as anybody from your playing days to now your coaching days for a number of years now. You all played so many games at the beginning part of this year on the road. What's going to be special for your guys getting to play this game this time of the year at home in front of that crowd at Citizens Bank Stadium on Friday night? What should they be expecting with the home field advantage?
Well, it's going to be electric. You know, opportunity for us to, you know, we've been battle tested. We played some really good, tough competition. But the opportunity to play at home is really something special. And don't get me wrong. I mean, we were six straight weeks on the road. We were road warriors. I mean, we played, you know, Science Hill, Dobbins Bennett, Morristown West. I mean, we played in some difficult places. But there's nothing like playing at home, obviously, for, especially on this game. And, you know, in the last 7 years, we're 5-2 against Greenville. You know, 3-2 versus them at home. So, you know, we like our chances here a lot better than on the road. And then the fact that, you know, should be standing room only crowd, you know, it's going to be the best game of this week. And then, you know, for what's at stake and what's taken place over the 4A last 7 years is, you know, this game has decided a lot. You know, it's decided playoff hopes, it's decided state championship, you know, dreams. And then, you know, it just, you need that crowd, you need that energy, you need that Cyclone Orange to help pull you through this game.
You brought up everything that's been on the line in years past and everything that's going to be on the line for this team in this game on Friday night. There shouldn't be a ton of what needs to be motivation for your football team going into it. What's going to be the biggest keys for you all against Greenville on Friday night?
Well, I think, you know, a lot of times in these games, you know, you got a lot of times you focus on the opponent, you know, what Greenville does really well and who they are. I think more so for us, especially coming off a bye week, is if we've been focused on ourselves. You know, this game's about us and our you know, the things that we like to do. You know, we made it well known early in the week that, you know, what makes this great game is a bunch of really good football players, and that's what we have on this football team. And our guys have really come together in all three phases. You know, we've got a football team this year that we've got guys helping out on both sides of the ball. And, you know, it's been really fun to see these guys, you know, get us to this point. So, you know, it's just, you know, obviously, you know, you want to eliminate the pre and post snap penalties. You know, you get a lot of adrenaline and this game is super physical. So you want to eliminate those penalties and then obviously turnovers. You know, you got to score in the red zone, eliminate those turnovers. And then, you know, what makes this game really good is both teams don't make a lot of mistakes. You know, both teams don't beat themselves. And then the fact that we're both 4A schools, it's a statewide football game that gets a lot of recognition. When you bring up these two teams, people know the programs. There's a lot of seminaries, you know, Coach Eddie Spine, I mean, there's a lot of respect. You know, I think our programs are built very similar, toughness and discipline and weight room and physicality. And, you know, when you play Greenville, you know, in order to win, you're not going to trick Greenville. You know, in order to win, you're going to have to take their will. And it's a four-quarter game. It's a 48-minute game. It's play after play, you know, trying to do the same thing over and over and over. So, you know, when you prepare for Greenville, what they do is not very complex, you know, but stopping it is easier said than done.
That's head coach of the Elizabethan Cyclones, Sean Witten, joining us here on Pigskin Picks. As again, it's Elizabethan and Greenville taking place there at Citizens Bank Stadium, Elizabethan on Friday night. Massive matchup there in Northeast Tennessee between two unbeatens battling for the number one seed in the Class 4 playoffs there in the TSSAA. Let's turn our attention now back over to Southwest Virginia. Our game we'll have for you here on 93.5 to BXM on Friday night. Union on the road at Abingdon, the Mountain District title game. Union 7-1 on the year, but undefeated in the Mountain District. Abingdon's 5-3 on the year. They do have one loss in the Mountain District, but that one loss is to John Battle, who's now already picked up two losses in the district. John Battle takes on Lehigh Friday night. They also have to travel to Union next week. So you would think that John Battle will be put out of the conversation there with a loss in either one of those matchups, to whether it's the Generals on Friday night or the Bears next week, you would think so. So this is most likely your Mountain District Championship, where if Union wins, they have a two-game lead for the district title. If Abingdon wins, they're tied with Union, and they would hold the tiebreaker over the Bears with the victory over Union, although they would call it a shared district championship between them and the Bears. Let's start off with the road team here in our conversations previewing this matchup. That's the head coach of the Union Bears, Travis Turner. They're coming off a bye week, are the boys from Big Stone Gap, and looking for a big win at Falcon Stadium. Here's my conversation with the head coach of the Bears, Travis Turner.
What did you see out of your team during the bye week after a long stretch of playing eight straight Friday nights?
Thought we had a chance to work on some young guys. Had a few days to really work with our young guys, our freshmen and sophomore. They got some extra reps in this week. Our varsity guys had a pretty good week of practice and during the bye week, and you know, had a chance to get some guys healed up that were banged up a little bit, playing through some pain. So hopefully this week's helped us.
You're taking on an Abington squad that we'll get to here in a few moments, who's gotten a lot better since the beginning of the year. They're on a roll right now themselves. We just saw them this past week here on the station beat Ridgeview last Friday night. You bring up getting some guys healthy there. How important is that for you all now, knowing that hopefully for you all, you're going to be playing consecutively on either Friday or Saturdays going through the postseason, and for your all's sake, you're hoping to get all the way through the early part of December. How important is that to make sure that you all are at your best point in health-wise going out of October into November and hitting the long stretch heading into the postseason?
I think that's a big part of having been successful going into playoffs. It's going to be the one who's healthy and the guys that can recover fast and to be able to get back out there and play when you start this grind these last couple of weeks and going into the playoffs.
When you look at Abington, they've gotten so much better since the early part of the year. Now, they lost to a John Battle team that's their record's not quite indicative of how well they've played this year compared to how they've played the last couple of years for Brad Ricker's squad. You all will see them next week in Big Stone Gap to round out the regular season. And now they've won five out of their last six games for Garrett Amberger's squad of Abington, blowing out Ridgeview last Friday night. What have you seen out of them that has improved from the early part of the year when you may go back and look at some earlier film tape to what they're doing now that's working so well for them?
I think their offense and defensive line play has gotten tremendously better throughout the year. They are coming off football. They're a physical team. They run the ball well. The quarterback does a good job running the offense. And if it's not there, he's got the capabilities of pulling it down and running it himself. So I think their overall offense and defensive line play has gotten tremendously better from earlier in the year.
And you look at this team now from their front line to their back line, it's been really good, but it's also helped out their running game that now they're relying on number one, Owen Barr. And we've seen him twice this year on the station when it beat Central and Ridgeview earlier this season. And he's played really well in both of those games, coming off a four-touchdown game against Ridgeview where he had three on the ground, one receiving as well. When you see a running back like that for them where they sort of stack one side of the line in their formation on most plays with a tight end and a fullback and another running back on the either left or right side of the line, how important is it for you all to get the pressure and get the push to make sure you're not going to let him have a big game from out of the backfield for them? And they also have some depth as well if they get the backup number 46 Thompson. They can come in and get him some breathers as well during the game.
Yeah, I think the key – for us defensively, you got to get the line right. They're going to formation you. They're going to shift. They're going to move. They trade their tight end a lot and their H-back. So, one's you got to get a line correctly. You can't get outflanked. And we're going to have to be physical up front. Our defense line's going to have to play our best game of the year. This is by far the best offensive line we've seen probably since Science Hill. So, they're big, strong, physical up front. And their running backs run hard. So, you know, we got to get a line correctly. Make sure we adjust to their motions, their shifts, and then we got to be able to get to the football.
Heading on the road to Abington this Friday night of the Union Bears to take on the Falcons in a big matchup we have here on 93.5 WAXM. Y'all are coming off the road game 2 weeks ago at Central prior to the bye week. How big is it for you all to understand what the environment's going to be like there at Falcon Stadium? A little bit of a different style stadium than most that you're going to play in because the bleachers a little bit farther back than most of the setup there on the hill of where the field is sort of in the middle of the both sides of the hill there behind the school. Making sure your players know that these fans are looking to try to make a run in the postseason just like you all are as they're moving up the point standings in Region 3D. How important is that to your all's team getting ready for this game Friday night?
Yeah, I think it's important that you're ready to play, no matter where you play at. It's like we've been preaching every week, and you know, the Mountain Seven, you got to be ready to play no matter where you're at, home or away. Our conference is very tough, top to bottom. got some great coaches in this conference that do a good job. And Abingdon is one of the top teams in our area. They're playing really good football right now.
Biggest keys to the game for you all Friday night against the Falcons?
Well, obviously we're going to have to stop the run. We got to be able to stop the run, and we're going to have to be able to contain the quarterback when they get in their spread formations. He does a really good job of making plays with his legs. The big tight end, I think they got him listed at 6'5", 250 pounds, and he's a threat to catch football. So we gotta have eyes on him, eyes on the running back, and being able to play good team ball. Offensively, we're going to have to move the football on the ground and be able to make some plays in the air.
That was head coach of the Union Bears, Travis Turner, joining us here on Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM as the Bears take on Abingdon on Friday night. So it is the home team's turn now here on Pigskin Picks. Let's talk to the head coach of the Falcons, Garrett Amberge. We talked to him last week as they got set for Ridgeview, the game we had on WAXM Friday night, and they beat the Wolfpack 49-14. Now Amberge and the Falcons have won 5 out of their last 6 games, won their last 3 district games over the likes of Gate City, Central, and Ridgeview. Going to try to do it again against Union at home on Friday night. Here's my conversation with head coach at Abingdon, Garrett Amberge. What was the biggest thing for you all Friday night in knocking off Ridgeview, coach, and playing really well, it looked like to me from the booth on both sides of the ball?
Yeah, I mean, it was a team win, and we really played well in all 3 phases. Offensively, we were able to move the football and had a great night running the football with Owen Barr and Tyke Thompson. And our defense played really well. We were flying to the football, had great pursuit. And then special teams, we were able to apply pressure in that area. So it was a team win, and all 3 phases were producing.
Let's start off offensively. Owen Barr had a phenomenal game on the ground. He also had a receiving touchdown as well. I think I had him at 75 receiving yards on just 2 catches there against the Wolfpack. What was the biggest thing for him to have success against their defense Friday night? Because they had not given up a ton of points throughout the year, and let alone any yards during the season as well for the Wolfpack defense.
Yeah, I thought Owen played really well. He has been a wide receiver pretty much all of his life, and he's really starting to get a feel for things at running back. He's able to make cuts and make moves in the secondary. He was able to get some yards after contact, so he's really gaining strength as a runner. So he had a great night, and he's also a receiving threat. He's a versatile weapon that can be used in a lot of different ways.
Let's move over to defense because you brought up them having a really good night as well. Ryan O'Quinn, we brought him up last week when we talked to each other on the show prior to the game, how good of a quarterback he has been throughout his career and this season as well. In the first half, he didn't complete a pass. You all had him at 0-for-8 at the intermission. He only completed that, I think only ended up completing 4 passes for the entire game, if I remember my stat sheet correctly, in the post game there for him. What did you all do well to not only get pressure on him but also contain his receivers on the outside?
Well, I give credit to our defensive back. Sully Perkins had a good night. Was able to break up a couple passes. Luke Conacher broke up one. I think for the most part, our defensive line was able to get a good pass rush. We were able to apply some pressure with linebackers. You got to be careful how much pressure you bring from the linebacker spot. But when we did come, we were able to get pressure on him and just not let him get comfortable and get settled in. That's the main thing.
You're going to face another tough offense in Union on Friday night. They do it a little bit differently, though. They still rely upon that run game, although they don't do it as much out of the T formation as they have in years past. Passing game is a little bit more of an option now for Travis Turner's squad of a few good, really young receivers and a developing quarterback in the senior Rayshon Anderson. What have you seen out of their offense that maybe looks a little bit different, but also some stuff that's just standard old-fashioned Travis Turner offense there with Union when you've seen them on film getting ready for Friday night?
Well, I think they're very explosive. They've got really good athletes at all kinds of different places. Whether it be the wide receiver position, where they got guys that can take a short pass and really make you pay with an explosive play. And then the quarterback runs the football so well, and he's able to make passes and complete throws. So they're a challenge for sure all the way around. And then, their running back is all of them run really hard. They get yards after contact. They falling forward. We always have admiration for how Union plays football. It's tough. It's hard-nosed. They still have that with also a lot of explosive ability.
And their defense as well has been really shut down all year long. Even when they faced a top team like Science Hill, who is looking for their seventh win of the season in Northeast Tennessee on Friday night against Dobbins-Bennett, they only gave up 27 points to them. They held Graham to 14 points. This defense of Jay Edwards, their defensive coordinator, has been phenomenal from beginning to end this season. They've pitched three shutouts this year as well. For your offense, what's going to be important to try to get something rolling with maybe not even just points on the board, but just making sure your defense doesn't have to be on the field for so long on Friday night?
Yeah, I mean, that's key. You got to sustain drives, and you got to change field position. You know, if we're down on our own end, we've got to string together some first downs and be able to switch field position with them, not be three and out and punting from our own end. And, you know, then you're playing uphill the whole night. So, key's going to be sustaining drives. That means getting a good first down play, and then those money downs, the third downs. Can you keep the drive alive? We've got to be able to convert.
After the loss to John Battle in Week One, and I'm sure you all are tired of hearing about that Week One loss, a lot of people sort of left you all out of the conversation in the Mountain District of trying to win a district title once again, like you all did for so many years in a row there prior to last season. You now have that chance. You have a chance to lock up a share, and you would have to win over Union if you want to go ahead and just call it a district title outright for win on Friday night. What has it been most important to your team? What's been the biggest, really, X factor for your team, if you want to call it like that, that's gotten them back into the hunt and have now won five out of their last six games overall?
I'm not really tired of hearing about the John Battle game because it keeps our guys grounded.
I like it.
It keeps them level, and we remind them of that. And they have come to work. The work ethic consistency they've had all year long, we told them when that happened, it is a long football season. If you do these things, we'll be there in the end when it counts. And, you know, I feel like I'd rather be playing our best ball now, you know, going in, contending for a district championship, contending for playoffs. That's when you want to be playing your best football, and I think we're able to do that. But I think team chemistry, these guys really like being around one another. They're fun to coach, and our practices have been really good. They're tough. They're physical. I mean, we get after it at practice. That's a credit to them. And that's been the key to the turnaround. And I told them then, when it happened, there's only one way out of this, and that's work. And they've done that.
That was Garrett Amberger, the head coach of the Abbott Falcons, joining us here on Pickskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM. It's Union and Abbott. That's our game on 93.5 WAXM on Friday night. We'll have the coverage for you there from Falcon Stadium in Washington County for myself and Corey Sanchez on the call. Speaking of Corey, him and Zach will rejoin us coming up in the next segment to talk about college football here on Pickskin Picks. We want to say a big thank you, though, once again to Eddie Spradle, the head coach of Greenville, Sean Witten, the head coach of Elizabethton, Travis Turner, the head coach at Union, and Garrett Amberger, the head coach at Abbott, for joining us here tonight on Pigskin Picks. Coming up, Corey and Zach will rejoin me as we talk some college football right here on 93.5 WAXM.
Each morning I arrive while the world still sleeps, slicing fresh cuts of certified Angus beef.
Yeah, that's my food, City Butcher. I need your advice.
How about a gourmet burger with a little spice?
I'm hosting a cookout, and it has to sizzle.
Try ribeyes with balsamic glaze, but just a drizzle.
Nobody does food like Food City.
Delegate Terry Kilgore proudly serving Virginia's 1st District in the House of Delegates. Terry Kilgore is a loyal and proud supporter of Southwest Virginia schools, as well as the revitalization of our area that we love to call home. Visit DelegateKilgore.com to learn more about Delegate Terry Kilgore.
From boats and motorcycles to campers and so much more, great adventures are just a click away with RV loans from Eastman Credit Union. Plus, enjoy no payments for 90 days.
ECU helped us find the RV loan that we needed.
We chose ECU for our RV loan because they have such great rates. We think everybody should choose ECU.
Live your dream now. Apply today at ecu.org/fun. Eastman Credit Union.
We're here talking Virginia Medicaid with Misty Lee of Anthem Health Keepers Plus. Misty, tell us why Medicaid renewals are so important.
Members who don't renew their Medicaid benefits will lose their health coverage.
What does a Medicare member have to do to keep their coverage?
The best thing they can do is make sure their mailing address is correct with the state. Anthem Health Keepers Plus members can call 1-800-901-0020 and check their address. They also need to contact their local DSS office and make sure their address is correct in the state system.
Get more, save more when you start home projects at Duffield Lumber. Located at the 421 Duff Pad Highway, Duffield Lumber carries building material, home hardware, and a full line of steel power tools. And prices you won't find anywhere else. At Duffield Lumber, customer service comes second to none. So go by and see Brad and his guys and let them help you with home projects or repairs. Also, just in time for the cooler temperatures, Duffield Lumber has heaters in stock and also offers propane tank refills. Duffield Lumber, go by or give them a call at 276-431-1582.
Yeah, this one right here goes out to all the babies, mamas, 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 baby mamas, mamas. Yeah, go like this.
Supposedly that has something to do with Happy Halloween. I have no idea. I have no idea. No idea.
This album came out 23 years ago on Halloween.
Thank you. I knew Zach would know it. I knew Zach would
know it.
You've told me that for however many years we've been doing this show, Zach. It's not happening, brother.
I think the first time we met, I told you to get culture.
You did. You did. I think you did. I don't know how that happens, how somebody could tell him that the first time you ever met, but hey, Zach Helton did it, and it was right on the money. It was right on the money. Zach, that's Zach Helton. Corey Sanchez was making some noise there as well, I believe. I'm Jacob Townsend. It's Pigskin, like I said, making noise. Pigskin Picks here on 93.5 WAXM. Thanks again to all the coaches who were joining us last segment. Let's talk some college football here in just a moment, though, fellas. But first, it's time to do our Terry Kilgore Good Delegate Award for the Leadership Award for the week, our Player of the Week. And we're going to give the award this week to Ian Tate, the junior running back from J.I. Burton. What a game he had against Castlewood last week to get the Raiders the first win of 2023. 27 carries, 219 yards, 5 touchdowns in their 46-28 win over Castlewood as the Raiders get the first win of the season and their first Cumberland District win of the season as well for Jacob Cottle and the guys. Great performance for Ian. They're happy to have him back. He had missed some time earlier on this year, but he steps up big in the win over Castlewood there for J.I. Burton at Lawson Fitchco on senior night in the final home game of the season there for the Raiders. Ian Tate, our Good Delegate Terry Kilgore Award winner this week. But Zach, we got to give some love to another young man as well.
Yeah, Ian had a big week, and it took a big week to take away from what Asher Wallace did at Twin Springs. Man, he had an awesome touchdown. I know that was going on the rounds of Facebook. I wasn't at the game, but that's where I saw it, was on Facebook. He's been a part of that program for a long time now, and they finally got him out on the field and got him some points. So, Asher Wallace, good job, young man.
Absolutely. It was our good buddy Casey Getz from WCYB posted the video of it. I know our other good buddy Tanner Cook from the Kingsport Times News did a nice little blurb on him as well in his Southwest Virginia Notes column there on Wednesday in the Kingsport Times News as well. So certainly a great story there with Asher and the Titans in that story. All right, let's talk some college football, fellas. We'll start off the third Saturday in October. Tennessee led 20-7 at intermission. They had to settle for 2 first-half field goals inside the Alabama 10-yard line, and then the offense never sniffed it again there in the second half. It was Alabama leading it 34-20 over the Tide. Number 11 Alabama gets the win over Tennessee. Tennessee still waiting for that first win in Tuscaloosa in over 20 years. 20 years now they haven't won since 2003 in Tuscaloosa. Same amount of time they haven't won in Gainesville either. But Alabama wins it. Tennessee, I said last week, I didn't trust that offense. The offense looked better in the first half, but it looked just as bad in the second half as it had before. Also, that defense fell apart. It's been really good this year. It's been really good at home. On the road, it had a bad first half against Florida, really bad second half against Alabama. There's some holes in Tennessee. They sit there at 5-2, and we'll see if maybe they can return to glory there against Kentucky coming up later this week. But, Corey, Tennessee trying to find their way coming out of the loss to Alabama.
Yeah, they got back down to earth again. And it looks like, your defense kind of followed suit with how the offense was playing last week. You had that 14-point lead, and then what was it, 27 unanswered points. One was a turnover at the end. But Tennessee kind of in a little – a slight disarray at a game that I know, Jacob, we probably would have caught you in the hospital if y'all had won that game because you've been living life high on the hog.
Well, and it's interesting that we talk about slight disarray. This Tennessee program was in real disarray not that long ago, 3-7 in 2020. And I'm sitting here down after being now 5-2 for the first seven games of 2023. But there is some there's some holes in this team they got to figure out. And we'll see how they fare in the last stretch here. Their next three out of four games, they're on the road to Kentucky this week. They then come home to play one-win UConn next week, followed by a road trip to Missouri, and then Georgia comes to town on November 18th. Three massive games there in the SEC East. And Josh Heupel and the Vols need to find a way to, in my opinion, at least get one. They better get two if you want to feel comfortable about a good UConn year there for them.
UConn?
Yeah, UConn. Yeah, come to town next week. Yeah.
Was Jenkins not available?
Jenkins was not available. Jeez. They are the regular season already over by that point there in Kentucky.
Corey. Corey.
That's mean spirit. That is mean spirit.
Jeez.
Jeez.
Goodness gracious. Come on.
That's bad. I mean, you know, but that's the quality of the SEC, right? They beat up. They're this big, tough conference, but they get like Gallaudet and Baptist Junior Barber College to come and play them at home. To kind of build up the build up their high rankings. And who's Georgia have? Bubblegum Tech this week. Florida might as well be called Bubblegum Tech, but you
not
know.
This year. Not this year.
The aggressive.
Jeez, come on now. You gotta sort of relax and rest there in November prior to the big stretch down the rest of the season,
Jacob,
against those other opponents.
I think we're just spending too much time on it. It's just college, and we got to come on. I'm glad that Zach talked about high school.
Zach, talking about high school here, this is coming from the same guy who, after about the first play of the second half Friday night, it was 27-0, whatever it was there at the half, and Abner had a big play. This guy leans over to me and says, I think you need to settle down. I don't know why you would say that, Corey.
Because in context to the situation, the clock is still going to tick no matter how fast it goes. So.
Yeah. Hey, my point is, let me tell you something. I'll say it right here on the air. I don't care. I've said it on the air before. I'll say it here as well. Zach, I hope you concur with me. If somebody's going to get their doors blown off, which is what happened to Ridgeview Friday, that's just what happened. There's no other way to put it.
Yep.
They got the doors blown off.
All the time.
You better get your doors blown off by 35. That's always, yes. That's just always been my rule.
Yeah.
If you're going to do it, get your doors blown off by 35.
I'm with you 100%. If you're going to do it, just go ahead and get it over with so the clock runs and we can all get home early.
Yep. If I've said it once, I've said it 1,000 times, and I'll keep saying it until I'm blue in the face. And some people would say I was almost there Friday night. Okay.
You were.
Yeah, Ohio State over Penn State, 20-12. The Buckeyes get the winner there over the Nittany Lions. Corey was the only one on Penn State. Florida State rolls in the fourth quarter after Riley Leonard gets hurt for Duke, 38-20 of the Blue Devils. We all at the Seminoles. Utah comes back in the final minute to beat USC, 34-32. We all have the Trojans. We'll dive a little bit deeper into that here coming up in a few moments. Ole Miss gets by Auburn in the second half, 28-21. They nearly covered. They almost nearly don't lose. They really didn't have a chance to win that game, though. Corey, though, picked the Tigers. They did score a late touchdown to make it a little bit more interesting in the final minutes. Missouri rolls over South Carolina, 34-12. The Gamecocks are in real trouble there with Shane Beamer in Columbia. They're now 2-5, and they have to go to College Station this week to take on Texas A&M. Could be easily 2-6. Virginia over North Carolina, Zach, 31-27. The Tar Heels are ranked number 10 in the country going into last week. Virginia gets their first FBS win of the year on the road against a top 10 team. First time in program history, and Tony Elliott gets a massive win. We all have the Tar Heels, obviously, but your thoughts on Virginia going into Chapel Hill and beating Mac Brown, Drake May, and North Carolina?
Yeah, I got home in time to watch this one, and I was like, what is going on? This is ridiculous. Virginia, kudos to them. They went in and shook things up in the ACC, but, man, Mac Brown doing Mac Brown things.
Thank you.
You know, I've got him in my eliminator, maybe not for long, but, man, it's just it's a little heartbreaking to see that happen. Not only for the fact that I've got him in my eliminator, but it was to UVA. So.
Yeah. Mac Brown, go ahead.
I was a little tore up after it.
Mac Brown is a really good coach. Mac Brown's on the College Football Hall of Fame. He went in there after you quit Texas and whatever part of the ways of them years ago. He's a really good coach. But you can almost set your clock to one of these every year. almost set your clock to an absolutely just lay an egg and just let it stink up the entire field. And that's what happened Saturday night, because guess what? Virginia tried to give it to them. Oh, goodness, did Virginia try to give it to them. They didn't want it as bad as they thought they did, but they couldn't take it from them because North Carolina just could not find their way down the stretch. Drake may have a bad interception there on the last drive of the game as Virginia was able to settle there and win in Chapel Hill. And I know people are going to come back at me. No, they didn't do it in 2005. They went undefeatable. Guess what? Vince Young was an exception. Drake May's a really good college quarterback. He also had another great one in Colt McCoy. He still usually found a stinker of them as well. It's okay.
And Mac Brown's quarterbacks, they proved to be stinkers at the next level. So
no one cares. No one cares about that.
Yes, we do. Doggone it. We're talking a lot about college. We're going to talk a little bit about pros. Don't be going after no Drake May, guys.
Oh, I'd take Drake May. If I had a pick, I'd take Drake May. I wouldn't take him over Caleb Williams, but I would take Drake May. I like Drake.
You're going to give him ownership. We got to give Caleb Williams ownership now.
Maybe not now, after the last 2 weeks. Old Dominion comes back and beats Appalachian State. They scored the game-winning touchdown in the last minute. But, boy, App State started a rally there late. They had a chance to come back and try to win that game, but their last play was an overthrow in the end zone. Corey and Zach had the Monarchs over the Mountaineers as Old Dominion gets a big win there over Appalachian State. ETSU lays an egg in the second half and really the entire 60 minutes against Chattanooga. 34-3 final score. I was the only one of the Bucks. It ended up being ETSU who got hit on Saturday afternoon by the train and the Mocs. Mars Hill sneaks by Carson Newman. That was a good one. 21-17. We all had the Lions. Emory and Henry, hello. They take down Tusculum 27-24 in overtime. Big win for the Wasps over the Pioneers on the road. Give some credit to Kurt Newsom and the guys there on that win. And UVA Wise got their first win in the while over Erskine. They're now 2-6 on the year. They take down the Fleet 34-23. Zach was the only one on the Fleet. Last week, myself and Andrew went 8 out of 13. Corey and Zach, 7 out of 13. College standings. Myself, 59, 70.2%. Corey, 55, 65.5%. Zach, 52, at 61.9%. It's time for the Illuminator, fellas. Corey's team is Alabama, Michigan, Oregon, and Oklahoma. I've been told that there may be some, I don't know, some spy technology with Corey's team. That's all I'm going to say. My team, Georgia, Penn State, Texas, and USC. Zach, Ohio State, Florida State, Washington, and North Carolina. Corey, your Eliminator. They all won last week. Do you want to make any changes? Because, boy, did Oklahoma sneak by Central Florida, but they stay undefeated.
You know what? I think this week I'm going to stay hand-packed. I kind of looked in my viewfinder as I bought a ticket to a game and just sat there as a normal fan and, you know, kind of surveyed the lay of the land. But right now I'm going to stay put.
Yeah, Connor Stallion there at Michigan. I've said this all week when I've been asked about that. I think it is something. I think it's wrong what he did. I think it will turn into nothing because I don't think their head coach will be there next year. I think Jim Harbaugh is going back to the league, and none of this will be worth anything by the time anything comes out of it. My team, Georgia, Penn State, Texas, USC. I've got to drop USC after the last 2 weeks. I thought they were going to rally. I really did. It didn't happen. They could not do it. They lost to Notre Dame. Now they lose to Utah. Cal Whittingham has Lincoln Riley's number, and there are some things going on there with Lincoln Riley that has some eyes sort of raising there, eyebrows raising. I'm going to replace them with the former USC coach. I can't believe I'm doing this, but you have to fill this with 12 teams, don't you? Isn't that the rule? Yeah, it's my segment. I guess it is. I'm going to go with Ole Miss. I'm going to put Ole Miss in there for USC. Give me the Rebels in there for USC. I think I'm going to be safe on them for at least a week or so because they play Vanderbilt this week. So my new team is Georgia, Penn State, Texas, Ole Miss. Zach, what do you want to make any changes to your eliminator? Ohio State won, Florida State won, Washington won. But, boy, did Washington have a scare there late night. If you stayed up and watched that game against who was that? Arizona State, a bad Arizona State team. Yeah. North Carolina as well, they lost to Virginia. Any changes for you, sir?
Well, I was kind of on the fence. If I was going to drop UNC, I had Ole Miss in mind, but there you go. You come in and sniped them from me. I think I'm going to hold put. I really do, because I really just don't see that much of a better option. And I think UNC is in a conference where they can still win out and, you know, maybe take on Florida State in the SEC title game, because I don't think they play each other.
No.
I have to check the schedule
here.
Don't. So, yeah. So, I mean, the only chance they would see Florida State is in the SEC title game. They got Georgia Tech, the Campbell Camels. Yeah, real riveting there. Duke, Clemson. I think the Clemson game, which is a couple weeks away, is interesting, but I think I'm going to hold with the Tar Heels right now.
Let me ask you guys a question before we go back around on USC. What is going on there with the Trojans in your eyes, Corey, as they've lost two in a row to Notre Dame in blowout fashion on the road, come back home, play a Utah team with their backup quarterback who they had benched prior to this game, came back in as their starter. He played terrific over that defense of USC, which is just terrible. And Caleb Williams was not enough once again against the Utes. They lose for a third time in the last two seasons to Utah after losing twice to them last year. They lose to them again, as now there's questions about Lincoln Riley and USC and Caleb Williams.
I mean, to me, it just seems like that they've run into two more prepared teams, and Utah and Notre Dame. And, you know, I don't want to say the talk in that spotlight is getting too big for Caleb, but he's just looked like a normal guy. In a way, he's kind of giving me like Kyler Murray vibes. And this is a because I know he's not really looking at just this right now. He's looking at his future, and I'm kind of looking at it as a lens of an NFL fan. So, yeah, I don't know, man. But, yeah, they need to get this right, and you know, because their season's kind of on that spiral down. If not, I don't know really how they recover from this, to be honest.
And they could slip here a few more times. They've got Oregon still on the schedule, Washington still on the schedule, UCLA still on the schedule. There's still a few more losses out there waiting for them if they can't turn this thing around, Zach. One thing I will say, Caleb may not be the only one looking at the NFL. According to some reports, Lincoln Riley keeping an eye on the league as well, as maybe a chance to maybe take the next step forward in his coaching career before USC heads to the Big Ten.
Yeah, I think Caleb's gone. I don't think there's any question about that. But there, yeah, the Lincoln Riley going with him thing, I don't know. You know, I know Woody Page, L.A. Writer, was kind of all on board with Lincoln going with Caleb. But I don't know. Like, if you can't win in L.A., a big market, like, how are you going to go to Chicago or wherever, you know, a bigger market, and win? So that whole thing doesn't quite make sense to me, but I feel like Caleb is gone. And I would not be surprised if USC picks up another loss, if they just shut him down and he goes ahead and starts getting ready for pro ball. I don't see him taking too many on the chin if he doesn't have to.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting because obviously Lincoln fits what a lot of NFL teams have been looking for recently. That offensive-minded head coach, younger guy. We'll see if maybe somebody takes a look at Lincoln Riley. Reportedly, Jerry Jones was interested in Lincoln Riley a few years ago with the Cowboys when he was still at Oklahoma. Things didn't quite work out in that situation, obviously, in the hiring Mike McCarthy, but we'll see what happens there with the future of both of those guys. Let's go back around here on the Eliminator, make sure anybody didn't have any more changes. Corey, USC's laying out there. Do you want to pick back up the Trojans? That's a no. That's a no. My team is right now Georgia, Penn State, Texas, Ole Miss. I'm good, Zach. We have to go back around one more time with you as well. Are you good with your picks?
I am perfectly fine with my picks.
All right. No more changes. Only one change this week. We'll see if there's more on the horizon. As the first ranking comes out Tuesday, fellas, I'm kind of thinking Ohio State may be number one. We can have a conversation about that next week after what happens afterwards. But nobody has two better wins than Ohio State right now. On the road at Notre Dame and a home win over Penn State. We'll see what the committee says about the Buckeyes. They also have a road game at Wisconsin this weekend on NBC with Todd Blackledge on the call. So we'll keep an eye on that as well there with the Buckeyes and the Big Ten of the College Football Playoff rankings, because their first show comes out Tuesday on Halloween. Coming up next, we'll talk some NFL and other things with Kenny Albert, who joins us here on Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXL.
Each morning I arrive while the world still sleeps, slicing fresh cuts of certified Angus beef.
Yeah, that's my food, City Butcher. I need your advice.
How about a gourmet burger with a little spice?
I'm hosting a cookout, and it has to sizzle.
Try ribeyes with balsamic glaze, but just a drizzle.
Nobody does food like Food City.
Delegate Terry Kilgore proudly serving Virginia's 1st District in the House of Delegates. Terry Kilgore is a loyal and proud supporter of Southwest Virginia schools, as well as the revitalization of our area that we love to call home. Visit DelegateKilgore.com to learn more about Delegate Terry Kilgore.
From boats and motorcycles to campers and so much more, great adventures are just a click away with RV loans from Eastman Credit Union. Plus, enjoy no payments for 90 days.
ECU helped us find the RV loan that we needed.
We chose ECU for our RV loan because they have such great rates. We think everybody should choose ECU.
Live your dream now. Apply today at ecu.org/fun. Eastman Credit Union.
We're here talking Virginia Medicaid with Misty Lee of Anthem Health Keepers Plus. Misty, tell us why Medicaid renewals are so important.
Members who don't renew their Medicaid benefits will lose their health coverage.
What does a Medicare member have to do to keep their coverage?
The best thing they can do is make sure their mailing address is correct with the state. Anthem Health Keepers Plus members can call 1-800-901-0020 and check their address. They also need to contact their local DSS office and make sure their address is correct in the state system.
Get more, save more when you start home projects at Duffield Lumber. Located at 421 Duff Pad Highway, Duffield Lumber carries building material, home hardware, and a full line of steel power tools. And prices you won't find anywhere else. At Duffield Lumber, customer service comes second to none. So go by and see Brad and his guys and let them help you with home projects or repairs. Also, just in time for the cooler temperatures, Duffield Lumber has heaters in stock and also offers propane tank refills. Duffield Lumber, go by or give them a call at 276-431-1582. Welcome back to Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM. Jacob Townsend here, Richie, Corey Sanchez, and Zach Hilton will join us here coming up in just a few moments as we'll pick some games here for you in this weekend in college football and high school football. But during this segment, we're going to turn our attention to the National Football League as we're joined by one of the Fox's NFL and Fox's play-by-play announcers. He also is an MLB play-by-play announcer for Fox Sports, NHL on TNT. He does the Rangers and the Knicks on the MSG Network, does Olympics for NBC. He's one of the most busiest men in the business. That is Kenny Albert joining us here on Pigskin Picks. Kenny, thanks so much for joining us. Hope you're doing well.
Thanks, Jacob. How are you?
Doing very well, and it's we're talking to Kenny. He's also promoting his book, A Mic for All Seasons, My 3 Decades Announced in the NFL, NHL, NBA, MLB, and Olympics. It just was released earlier this month. At this point in your career, Kenny, why was the book at this time the right time?
Well, Jacob, I felt like I had a lot of stories, and I speak frequently to high school and college broadcasting students at various camps around the Northeast, and during the pandemic, had a lot of time in my hands, so put together an outline and some sample chapters, and Triumph Books out of Chicago signed on, and worked on it for the next 2 years or so, and very excited to see the final product about a month ago, and as you mentioned, it was released to the public just a couple of weeks back.
It's impossible, Kenny, to not talk to you and not bring up your dad. With Marv Albert, one of the great announcers of all time, what is the main thing you learned from your dad in this business?
The number one thing was preparation. You know, I would watch him when I was a kid, whether we were at home or I was on a road trip with him somewhere in a hotel, and just learn the value of preparing for each and every broadcast. And I have a checklist that I go through before every game, and it involves a lot of reading and watching prior games and talking to coaches and players and pouring through statistics and preparing charts, et cetera. When I was old enough, I would start tagging along, and I kept stats for him at hockey and basketball and football games, and really learned via osmosis and watched how the communication worked between the play-by-play announcer and the color analyst, between the announcers and the production truck on TV broadcasts. But getting back to your original question, preparation was definitely the top thing that I learned.
One of my questions I written down there was about chemistry between partners, because you worked with so many because of the number of sports and number of different places you work for. What's the best way of having chemistry with your partners on broadcasts?
Well, that's a great question, and that's such a huge part of it. And I have worked with over 200 color analysts between all of the different sports, and I always like to research their careers, whether they were a player or a coach going into it. That way you could bring up some topics that might be pertinent to when they played. And there are many color analysts that I've only worked one game with, and others that I've been with for 10, 15, even 20 years. So enjoy each and every one of them. Many of them are in the Hall of Fame or won championships in their respective sports. So that's one of the fun parts of what I do, is getting to work with all of these great people on TV and radio broadcasts who had such tremendous careers in the world of sports.
Kenny, now working with Jonathan Vilma, the former Miami Hurricane, playing in the NFL for the New Orleans Saints and the New York Jets, and Shannon Spake on the NFL on Fox. They got Vikings-Packers this Sunday, just coming off doing the Cardinals and the Seahawks this past week. You also worked with Rondae Barber prior to Jonathan Vilma. I remember you working with him, and I saw you were with him in Canton this past summer, and he was inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. You talked about chemistry on the air, but building relationships that last even after now Rondae not even working with Fox now, what is that like with these guys who were stars in the league? Rondae, a Hall of Famer. Jonathan was a terrific linebacker, a Super Bowl champion. I know you've worked with Daryl Moose Johnston over the years, a Super Bowl champion as well on the NFL side. Just a few of the analysts that come to my mind off the top of my head. Beyond the chemistry on the air, what is it like building the relationships and the friendships of those kinds of with those kinds of guys?
Well, it's a lot of fun. All of the folks you just mentioned are among my favorite people. I was with Daryl Johnston and Tony Siragusa, Moose and Goose, for 8 years, and then Daryl for 2 more years. And he's my longest-running color analyst on the NFL side and does such a terrific job. He's been in the booth for over 20 years, won 3 Super Bowls as a player. And then Rondae Barber for 4 years, also one of my favorites, was in Canton for his Hall of Fame ceremony, was so excited to be there this past August. And then Jonathan Vilma, my 4th year with Jonathan, who won a Super Bowl with the New Orleans Saints. And I think the common theme, I talked about preparation earlier, Jacob, but the common theme between Moose and Rondae and Jonathan is the work they put in and the preparation. And they did it as players. It's no surprise, you know, that they all won Super Bowls when I observed how hard they worked, both on and off the field. Rondae, for example, would put together a 15-page scouting report for all of us on the crew. They all watched so much film during the week of the respective teams. And, you know, now when I listen to Jonathan Vilma, we have a Zoom call later today, and he'll break down the Packers and the Vikings from the film that he's watched over the last couple of days. And they all have great communication skills as well. So all great people, great players, and terrific broadcasters, and really enjoy working with each and every one of them.
Kenny Albert joining us here on Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WXM of NFL on Fox. He's got Vikings-Packers this coming Sunday, 1 p.m. kickoff at Lambeau Field in that big NFC North matchup between Minnesota and Green Bay. His also new book is out, A Mic for All Seasons, My 3 Decades Announcing the NFL, NHL, NBA, MLB, and Olympics. You can find that wherever books are sold. Let's get back to you and your dad here for a moment, Kenny. We brought up all the preparation that you and your dad both do. We've talked about all the jobs you've had. Your dad had a ton of jobs as well, a lot of them in the New York area, but also a lot of national jobs as well. Where did that drive to do so much come from, both you and him? Because I'm guessing it started with him that sort of leaked into you.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess it was in my DNA, but when I was growing up, he was the radio voice of the Knicks and Rangers in New York. He also did the 6 and 11 o'clock news on WNBC Channel 4. He had done Giants radio earlier in his career, wound up doing football for a long time with NBC, boxing as well, baseball pregame show. So I guess, you know, I was around it growing up. I always enjoyed all sports. And once I started my career, my initial goal was hockey on the radio. And I was real fortunate to get hired by a minor league team in Baltimore, the Skipjacks, back in 1990, and I worked there for 2 years, and then I was down in Washington with the Capitals for the next 3 at Home Team Sports, which became NBC, Comcast, Washington. And when I worked there, I was assigned to some college sports, basketball and soccer and lacrosse, and also filled in on some Washington Bullets at the time, now the Wizards, and Baltimore Orioles games. So really enjoyed the variety right from the start. Fox, Rupert Murdoch wound up making a crazy, unprecedented bid for the NFC package and prior to the 1994 season, and they hired a bunch of young play-by-play announcers, and I was one of them, so real lucky at that time, in the right place at the right time. And by virtue of the networks that I work for, football and do some baseball for Fox, NHL on TNT, and then hockey and basketball for MSG Networks as well, so I always loved the variety, really enjoy it, but like I said, I guess it was in the DNA.
you bring up that 1994 time where the Fox took the NFC package away from CBS in the contract negotiations there with the NFL. You brought up you being brought in as one of those young play-by-play announcers. You weren't the only one. You, Joe Buck, Kevin Harlan, Tom Brenneman were among many of the guys there joining a group that also included Pat Summerall, Dick Stockton at the time at the beginning of the Fox NFL package. What was that time like, and what was it for you? What was it like for you getting the start on the NFL at a pretty young age on a pretty new venture there with Fox?
Well, you really did your research, Jacob. We were all hired at the same time, and I remember meeting Joe Buck, for example, the day that we all had our auditions out in L.A. back in March of 94. And Fox did hire Pat Summerall and John Madden, as you said, as their number one crew, Dick Stockton and Matt Millen, other veterans from CBS, as the second crew. And then they took a chance on four young play-by-play announcers and some young up-and-coming analysts. And I was 26 at the time. Joe was 25. Tom and Kevin were a couple of years older. But very proud to say that I'm now in season 30, and Joe's had a Hall of Fame career now at ESPN. Kevin's had an unbelievable career now at CBS and Turner. And Tom, another terrific broadcaster at Fox for 25-plus years. So they took a chance on all of us, and I guess we did a good job because we're all still working. But David Hill and Ed Gorin, George Krieger, they were the Fox executives at the time who made those decisions. And I don't think any of us ever thought we would be doing NFL play-by-play on television, especially at that young age.
Yeah, and as you rattled off the names there back to me, it struck a comment in me that said that you're the only one still there after all these years. As Joe recently went over to ESPN in recent years, Kevin, as you said, with CBS and Turner, you're the only one still with Fox, even from the beginning, since 1994 there. Speaking of the NFL, Kenny, you are obviously seeing a lot of teams week in and week out. As we said, Vikings, Packers this upcoming week. You had Cardinals, Seahawks last week. You've actually had the Cardinals the last couple of weeks, I believe, as you had them against the Rams as well. You've had the Colts, the Giants a few times this year, Jacksonville. This, I think, be the third time you're going to see Green Bay. What is the biggest surprise for you so far in this NFL season?
Well, early on, we had a number of comebacks, really fun games to call. 3 weeks in a row, we had a comeback from 12 points in the fourth quarter. Then Green Bay came back 17 points down to beat New Orleans. And the next week, we had Indy against the Rams, and it was 23-0. And wound up going to overtime. Indy scored the next 23 points. So we had some great comebacks. The last couple of weeks, we've had games that were close at halftime, and then the Rams in Seattle took charge in the second half of those games against Arizona. But really looking forward to the Vikings-Packers game this week. It's a tremendous divisional rivalry. Always love going to Lambeau. It's our second time there this year. And, you know, haven't finished all my preparation yet, but just watching the Vikings and their tremendous game on Monday night, you know, they've turned things around after a slow start to the season, beat San Francisco on Monday night. So really look forward to the Vikings and the Packers on Sunday.
Kenny Albert joining us here on Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM. His new book, A Mike for All Seasons, My 3 Decades Announcing the NFL, NHL, NBA, MLB, and Olympics. Kenny doing the NFL on Fox at the moment. Obviously, NHL season getting started pretty soon there for him on TNT as well. Kenny, before I let you out, let's do 5 quick questions here, a little fun thing. Let's start off with the first one, getting back in sort of the broadcasting niche stuff. Are you a typed or a written broadcast board guy?
Definitely written. I'm old school. I feel like I remember things a lot better if I write them down, so most of it's by hand. Although I do a lot of work on the computer, on the iPad, reading, but the actual broadcast charts are by hand.
We go back to your dad here. The best story that you've ever been around for your dad in his broadcasting career?
Oh, wow. You know, there are so many of them. I think that the time that stands out, I was doing the stats for him at the Dream Team games in 92, so that was an experience in Barcelona that I'll certainly never forget. But also enjoyed his stories about the Knicks championship back in 1970 and some of the other events that he worked, you know, when I was either real young or before I was born.
Sort of a take off the 5 questions here from sort of a rebuttal to that last one there. You said you were with him at the 92 Dream Team Olympics there in Barcelona. You now work with the Olympics of NBC in recent years. What was the coolest thing you saw there at the Olympics at that time that sort of drove you to make sure you wanted to get back into it broadcasting years later?
Well, just watching those Dream Team games, having a front row seat to Bird and Magic and Jordan and all the others. And then I've had the opportunity since then to work 6 Winter Olympics on NBC, calling men's and women's hockey, and a couple of Summer Olympics as well. And one of the moments that stands out for me was the women's hockey gold medal game in 2018 in Pyeongchang, South Korea, when the U.S. Beat Canada in a shootout to win the gold medal.
Getting back to the five questions, who does the best Marv Albert impression?
Usually it's people that come up to him, you know, at events in the past, in airports, et cetera. He usually gives them a grade. So I'm sure there are a couple of A-pluses along the way.
Well, everybody, it feels like they're for at least about 20 years, had one. I can't do one even close to doing one. I'd be doing it in jest if I tried to do one here on the air. I remember Ray Romano doing his on Everybody Loves Raymond several times. But other than that, that's always what comes to my mind about your dad is obviously the great broadcasting, but the amount of people that try to do an impression of his broadcasting style as well. We brought up all the partners you've worked with over the years. Who's the funniest one?
Wow, who's the funniest one? That's a great question. I've never gotten that one before. I'd have to say Tony Siragusa, yeah. The late, great Goose, who I worked with for 8 years. He was a character, lived life to its fullest, but I probably have to put him right at the top of the list.
He was the name I had written down. If you didn't say him, I was going to ask you about Siragusa. What's the best story with Tony?
There's not really one. It's just all the memories. Tony was never one who wanted to just sit around in a hotel room. On Saturday mornings, we usually had a couple of hours before we started our meetings with teams and the production meeting. And he was like the camp counselor. You know, we'd always go do some kind of activity, whether it was riding, taking a swamp boat tour in Louisiana, petting baby alligators, riding in NASCAR race cars in Charlotte, getting soaked by Shamu at SeaWorld in San Diego, going on a jet boat tour at Niagara Falls. We were always on the move with Tony and doing some kind of fun activity.
That's great. I remember Tony being on The Sopranos as well as a guest star there a few episodes as well, sitting there sort of in the corner, not doing much, but you knew it was Tony when you saw him.
There,
yep.
Sure.
Last one. I had it written down as who has better style, but it may be the more accurate question, but who has worse style between Daryl Moose Johnston and Walt Frazier?
Well, honored to say they're both on the cover of my book.
Yeah.
Daryl wrote one of the blurbs, the quotes that's on top of the cover, and Clyde and Wayne Gretzky were kind enough to take part in the forwards, but both distinct dressers. You know, Clyde wears a different suit every game, and Daryl's always very distinguished looking, so I always joke that when I'm standing next to one of them on the air, nobody's really looking at me, so I can wear a T-shirt and shorts, and nobody would notice because they'd be looking and checking out either Clyde or Daryl's outfit.
Did at any point in all those years, I think you said you worked 8 years of Moose and Goose, but also an extra 2 years of Daryl, that he would ever go, you know, Kenny, you want one of these checkered sports jackets? You ever maybe want to wear one of those to one of your other broadcasting ventures, of whether it be the MLB, NHL, NBA?
We would joke about it, but I'm not sure it would look nearly as good on me as it does on him.
Very good. Very good. Kenny Albert joining us here on Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM. The NFL on Fox. He's got Vikings and Packers this Sunday, 1 p.m. kick with Jonathan Vilma and Shannon Spake. You can also catch him on NHL on TNT and the MSG Network coverage of the Rangers and the Knicks. You can also follow him on Twitter, or X, I should say, at Kenny Albert. His new book, A Mic for All Seasons, My 3 Decades Announcing the NFL, NHL, NBA, MLB, and Olympics. You can find it wherever books are sold. Kenny, thanks so much for the time. It's been a lot of fun, man. Good luck to you. Safe travels to Lambeau out there in Green Bay this Sunday, and safe travels throughout the rest of the year with your broadcasting and certainly throughout the NFL season as well. Thanks so much for your time.
Thanks, Jacob. Really appreciate it.
Kenny Albert joining us here on Pigskin Picks. We'll be right back to pick some games with James Colley, our Eastman Credit Union guest picker. As Corey and Zach will rejoin us right here on Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM.
Each morning I arrive while the world still sleeps, slicing fresh cuts of certified Angus beef.
Yeah, that's my food, City Butcher. I need your advice.
How about a gourmet burger with a little spice?
I'm hosting a cookout, and it has to sizzle.
Try ribeyes with balsamic glaze, but just a drizzle.
Nobody does food like Food City.
Delegate Terry Kilgore proudly served in Virginia's 1st District in the House of Delegates. Terry Kilgore is a loyal and proud supporter of Southwest Virginia schools, as well as the revitalization of our area that we love to call home. Visit DelegateKilgore.com to learn more about Delegate Terry Kilgore.
From boats and motorcycles to campers and so much more, great adventures are just a click away with RV loans from Eastman Credit Union. Plus, enjoy no payments for 90 days.
ECU helped us find the RV loan that we needed.
We chose ECU for our RV loan because they have such great rates. We thank everybody to choose ECU.
Live your dream now. Apply today at ecu.org/fun. Eastman Credit Union.
We're here talking Virginia Medicaid with Misty Lee of Anthem Health Keepers Plus. Misty, tell us why Medicaid renewals are so important.
Members who don't renew their Medicaid benefits will lose their health coverage.
What does a Medicare member have to do to keep their coverage?
The best thing they can do is make sure their mailing address is correct with the state. Anthem Health Keepers Plus members can call 1-800-901-0020 and check their address. They also need to contact their local DSS office and make sure their address is correct in the state system.
Get more, save more when you start home projects at Duffield Lumber. Located at 421 Duff Pad Highway, Duffield Lumber carries building material, home hardware, and a full line of steel power tools. And prices you won't find anywhere else. At Duffield Lumber, customer service comes second to none. So go by and see Brad and his guys and let them help you with home projects or repairs. Also, just in time for the cooler temperatures, Duffield Lumber has heaters in stock and also offers propane tank refills. Duffield Lumber, go by or give them a call at 276-431-1582. Welcome back to Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM as Jacob Townsend, Corey Sanchez, and Zach Helton continue here on a Thursday night on WAXM. I want to say a big thank you to Kenny Albert of the NFL on Fox for joining us on the last segment. Go out there and find his new book, A Mike for All Seasons, that was released earlier this month. Also, he and Jonathan Vilma and Shannon Spake have the call for the Vikings and the Packers this Sunday on Fox. 1 o'clock is that kickoff time from Lambeau Field in that big NFC North matchup there between the Vikings and the Packers, with Minnesota coming off their big win on Monday Night Football over the San Francisco 49ers. Let's take a look at our Eastman Credit Union guest picker standings here, fellas. Alan Gregory remains on top from the Bristol Herald Courier. His big showing a few weeks ago, our best showing ever in our third year of this segment, as he went 92.3% a few weeks ago, 24 out of 26. Tim Hayes from the Herald Courier remains behind him at 76%. Our defending champion, Pat Kenny from the Kingsport Times News at 73.7%. Casey Getz from WCYB, 70.8%. Our 2021 champ, Heather Williams from WCYB, 69.6%. Our guest picker last week from WCYB, Andrew McClung, just behind Heather. I haven't got to break that news to him yet. He'll be very upset about that. 69.2% for Andrew, just 0.4 of a point behind Heather. But he is ahead of the two WJHL guys. It's what he said he wanted to do most importantly. That was Nick Dugan and Kenny Hawkins. Dugan at 68%, Kenny Hawkins at 60.9%. And in last place still, Tanner Cook from the Kingsport Times News at 59.3%. Our Eastman Credit Union guest picker this week is Casey Getz's teammate now. They're on the Friday Night Rivals coverage for WCYB, Fox, Dry Cities, and the CW. This week on the CW, they've got Virginia High at Lebanon to round out their year on the Friday Night Rivals. And their final game of the season is a big battle in the Southwest District and in Region 2D. That's the former head coach of the Hayside Tigers, James Colley, our Eastman Credit Union guest picker this week. Coach, thanks so much for joining us. Hope you're doing well.
Hey, thanks for the introduction there. I appreciate it. Good to be here with you guys this week. I'm going to try to knock off Gregory there at the top and try maybe getting like, say, maybe 93.5%, right?
Oh, that's good. That's good. That's very good, Coach. That's a pro there, fellas. That's a pro there. Casey's taught you well, sir. Casey has taught you well.
Hey, let me tell you what. There's not a better guy to work with than Casey.
Couldn't agree more with you. Casey's a great one. We've been lucky to have him on the show the last couple of years, and he's always a fun guy to talk to, both on and off the air as well. And the game we have on 93.5 WAXM this Saturday, Phils, will start off in the college football games for our Food City game picks this week. And, Corey, I'll start with you. UVA Wise coming off their first conference game, a conference win of the season, I should say, for Erskine last week. Can they make it back-to-back as they take on Mars Hill, who sits there at 6-1 on the season? It's a 1 o'clock kick over across the state line in North Carolina. That means a pregame at 12:30 here on 93.5 to be XM on Saturday afternoon. Cavaliers or Lions for you, Corey?
Mars Hill.
Mars Hill. Corey says no. UVA Wise will not make it back-to-back. He takes Mars Hill at home. How about you, Coach?
I think the Cavaliers are going to be thrown to the Lions this week. I'm going to go with Mars Hill.
He's on a roll here early. Zach, how are you looking at this matchup?
Yeah, this one's not going to be close.
hopefully no one gets any screaming match from the stands and everyone gets out safe. But I'm going to go Mars Hill at home.
The biggest thing in this matchup, Corey, and you know this well, the Sunoco. Can you get by the Sunoco there just off the interstate? It's right there on your left just by the Bojangles. If you can get past there, it can be a pretty good Saturday for you, even if it's not on the field. But if you can get past the Sunoco, I always pronounce it wrong, it's usually a pretty good day, Corey. I like Mars Hill. And you said you like Mars Hill as well, Corey?
Yeah, sometimes you just got to go. You just got to go.
And there's not much more you can do once you get past that point. Emory Henry sitting there at 4-4, coming off the big upset win in overtime last week over Tusculum. They stay in Northeast Tennessee as they travel down to Jefferson City, down there to Mossy Creek to take on the Eagles of Carson Newman. They're 3-5. This is a 3 o'clock kick between the Wasps and the Eagles, Coach. Who do you like in Tennessee?
Well, you know, it's going to be a tough one. Emory won that great game last week against Tusculum there in overtime, and I watched them play against Mars Hill, and I know Carson Newman's tough. Their record doesn't show it this year, but the Eagles always fly high. But my heart's with Emory there. I'm going to go with him in an upset.
James Colley going with Emory Henry. Zach, who do you like there between Emory Henry and Carson Newman?
Yeah, sorry, Coach. Emory and Henry's not going to go on the road and beat the Eagles. I'm going to get Carson Newman.
Carson Newman at home for Zach. Corey, we're split so far. You love both of these schools so much.
Yeah, I love them so much that if they were on fire, I'd just run the fire truck past them.
What?
Yeah. Unfortunately, since we had Fox Kenny Albert on here, I'm going to go with CBS's Jim Nance, and hopefully the buttons don't bust off of that, as there'll be a fracas down there again. Unfortunately, give me the that team down there in Tennessee.
That'd be Carson Newman, and make sure if you're Emory Henry, stay away from that midfield logo. It's dangerous out there against Carson Newman. I'm going to go with the home team here as well. Emory Henry shocked me last week with the win over Tusculum, but I'm not sure they can make it back-to-back. I'm going to go with Carson Newman at home over Emory Henry to move to 4-5 on the year. Speaking of Tusculum, they traveled to winless Erskine, the team that UVA was defeated last week. Let's head down to South Carolina, Zach, and God bless my good buddy Brian Staten to broadcast the games for Tusculum, because, Zach, we all know well what he's going to be dealing with on Saturday afternoon. How does the team fare on Saturday against the Fleet?
Yeah, the 1 o'clock kick definitely bodes well for all in the press box, because if anyone's ever done a game from there, you know the sun sets directly into the press box. Not much on Erskine. Tusculum goes in and takes care of business, though.
Corey, you saw Erskine, or UVAY saw Erskine, I should say, last week against the Cavaliers. Erskine had the early lead, but UVAY took care of business. Erskine returns home of Shat Boyd in one of their last Mountain Divisional games in the South Atlantic Conference. How do they fare?
Yeah, what word rhymes with fleet? Oh, it's defeat. Yeah, give me Tusculum in that one.
Defeat, beat, we all know the story there. Everybody's on Tusculum so far, Coach. Do they bounce back after the loss to Emory Henry?
Yeah, you got to go with Tusculum. They're going to be mad once they get down there, and it's not going to be a pretty day.
Well, I'm with you guys. I like Tusculum big, and it's one of the Jerry Oda motivates those guys, and they get a nice bounce-back win on the road. Speaking of needing the bounce-back, ETSU got thromped on the road at Chattanooga against their rival last week, 34-3. Life gets no easier for my alma mater, the Buccaneers. All they have to do this week is go take on the top five team in the country, top team in the SoCon, Furman, down in Greenville, South Carolina, against those Paladins, Corey. Furman, the previous employer of head coach George Quarles for ETSU. It's where he was the offensive coordinator at before he got the job for the Bucs. How does he fare against his former boss, Clay Hendricks, and the Paladins?
Well, it looks like the offense isn't bleeding over here at ETSU, but they can go to the Yard House afterwards. That'll be a good victory for them down there in Greenville, because they won't get it against the Purple Paladins of Furman.
Been my experience as well, Corey. The Courtyard Marriott's a nice place to spend in the evening.
That's right, David.
Coach, who do you like in this one?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be good for the Buccaneers on another road trip. It's going to be a long, sad trip back. I've got to go with Furman.
Furman for Coach and Corey so far. Zach, you with them?
Yeah, anyone that's
you know, free and judgmental free of to wear purple after Labor Day, I'm going to go with them. I'm going to go Furman at home in a fashion faux pas win.
Well, we're going to get some more purple here in just a moment with our next game we're going to pick here as well. But I like Furman at home as well. Credit to Clay Hendricks' squad. They've always been a good team. They've stepped up and they're maybe very good and maybe on the borderline of a great SoCon team this year. I don't think they're national championship good, but they're good. They're good enough to play in the second or third weekend into December in the FCS playoffs, in my opinion. I think they take care of business against ETSU pretty easily on Saturday afternoon. That's a 2 o'clock kick down in Greenville. We're all in the Paladins, the Purple Paladins. Old Dominion coming off the last-second win over Appalachian State last week. They travel over to Harrisonburg to take on the number 25 team in the country in the AP Top 25. James Madison, the undefeated fighting Cignettis, 8 o'clock, ESPNU. Coach, who do you like in this battle of the Commonwealth?
Hey, I'm glad to see James Madison's on TV again. Watched them there week before last. They looked awful good. They've got talent. They've got speed. That's the reason they're ranked number 25 in the country at 7-0. I think you got to go with the Dukes this week.
The Dukes for Coach. And, Zach, James Madison's in that conversation. We're heading into Halloween. We're heading into November. Our first college football playoff top 25 ranking comes out this coming Tuesday. They're in the conversation for a New Year's Six Bowl. That top group of five spot. Will they get it? I'm not sure. They've got some tough competition. Tulane comes to mind. I'm thinking of Air Force as well. That's playing really well. UNLV is a good ball club out there for first-year head coach Barry Odom. But James Madison, and you can't rule out Liberty yet for my old buddy Jamie Chadwell and the Flames, who are undefeated as well. You can't rule them out yet for a New Year's Six Bowl either. But they've got to get by Old Dominion and Ricky Ronnie, do they?
Well, I think a lot of the hubbub recently has been, does James Madison get a bowl if,
Oh, that's right. I didn't even think about that. You're right.
Because they're in that, weird, dark area where they just transitioned over. So that's a big hubbub right here recently. But I think James Madison gets the win at home. I think Old Dominion gives them a fight. That's going to be, a decent little rivalry game. Guys that know each other hate each other on that one. But I think James Madison gets it done in the end.
I could do an entire segment of my disdain for that rule. It's a stupid rule. Makes no sense for what the NCAA does in that regard. And it's only hurting James Madison. This team is a really good football team. I did see somebody tweet out the other day, there's a way to get by that. They would be eligible for the college football playoff if the committee thinks they're one of the top four teams in the country. I think we all know the answer to that question, Corey. But are they enough to beat Old Dominion on Saturday?
ODU is kind of like Jamie Chadwell when you call Jacob. They won't answer it. Give me JMU.
That's why I said old friend. That's why I said old friend. That's right. He used to answer my call, not as much anymore. Hey, we're still rooting for you, Jamie. Good win over Jacksonville State the other night. I watched. I like James Madison at home as well. 3:30, ACC Network. Two teams coming off big wins last week, Virginia and Miami. Miami's favored by about 20. It's a 3:30 kick right there on the ACC Network. Zach, I know you're going to be dialed in closely to this matchup of two teams you adore, the Cavaliers and the Hurricanes. Who walks out of Hard Rock with a hard-fought win?
I'll be watching some bad football elsewhere at this time, but I'm gonna go Miami at home in this one.
Miami at home for Zach. Corey, he says the Cavs and Tony Elliott can't make it back-to-back.
Yeah, I think they aren't going to make it back-to-back either. Give me the U.
Everybody's on Miami so far, Coach. You with the state school or you're going to go with the Hurricanes?
No, I think Virginia, they had all their luck there last week. It's one of those things, the Cavaliers once a year, once every 5, 6, 7, 10 years. I don't know. But anyway, let's go. let's go with the U there with that one for sure.
Mario Cristobal and Miami, they get back to 6-2. A different conversation starts to be having about Miami and the egg they laid in the last 90 seconds against Georgia Tech a few weeks ago. You don't do that. You're in a different conversation right now, but they get by the Cavaliers as well. I'm with you guys on that one. Let's head to the CW. 2 o'clock. We already know Coach Colley's got the game on the CW on Friday night, Virginia High and Lebanon. Tom Wormy, the former guest star on One Tree Hill, fellas, is play-by-play announcer, and James Bates, the former Sevier County Smoky Bear and national champion linebacker for Steve Spurrier, Florida, will have the call of this one. This game is on the CW. Wow, things have changed. Clemson and NC State. Corey, who wins in Raleigh? They're both 4-3.
Maybe the One Tree Hill fans do, but let's go with Clemson to win this one.
Clemson there for Corey. He says the Tigers bounce back on the road after the double overtime loss to Miami last week. Coach, how about you? You're with the Tigers or the Wolfpack?
Well, you know, the Wolfpack, where they're at home, I think they're going to keep this game really, really close, but I think it's time for Clemson to change gears. They got to step it up a notch in the ACC, and I think Clemson gets the win on the road. I'm going with the Tigers, man.
They went out there and hired the Brewers award-winning offensive coordinator for the national runner-up TCU last year, the younger brother of Lincoln Riley, Garrett Riley, as their offensive coordinator, and it's not looked anything like that offense so far this year for the Tigers and quarterback Cade Klubnik. Zach, can it start looking that way after the loss to Miami against NC State?
Yeah, I only got two words to quote the favorite coach that has since passed away. Rest in peace, Coach Bud Kilmer. Go Pack.
Go Pack. Wow. NC State for Zach. He says make it back-to-back losses for the Tigers. They could drop down to 4-4. Boy, that could be dangerous there for Clemson and NC State. I will take the Tigers on the road. Sneaky line here. Clemson's still favored by around 10 in this matchup. That's an odd one there. I'll take Clemson on the road. Oregon State's the number 11 team in the country. They're sneaking up on people. They travel down to Tucson, though, and take on Arizona. 10:30 ESPN. It's a late night out in the Pac-12 after dark with a team in Oregon State that's going to be looking for a new home, and Arizona, who's heading to the Big 12 next year. Coach, who do you like there between the Beavers and the Wildcats?
Hey, I've got to go with the Beavers. I've always liked the Beavers, and I think they're going to shine this time.
Oregon State there.
6-1 in Arizona. Oregon State, I've got to go with them. The 6-1 at Arizona. It doesn't matter if it's at Arizona. Oregon State.
Oregon State on the road for Coach. Zach, who are you with on this one there in Tucson?
I'll go Beavers. Go Beavers.
Everybody's on Oregon State so far. Corey, how about you?
Jacob?
Yes?
This is one of those kind of smelly, don't you
plus
think?
Plus three and a hook, my friend.
For Arizona, you know, the public is hammering Arizona right now. For those interested in that. With that being said, I'm going to go against them. I am going to go. Give me a little Wildcats and upset.
Okay, you're going to go Arizona in the upset there for Corey. Ah, man, they're coming off that blowout win against Washington State a few weeks ago after they really gave one away against Washington the week prior. I'm going to say Arizona at home as well. I like their coach, Jed Fish. He's doing it differently, sort of more of an NFL mindset for the long time Bill Belichick assistant. I like that Oregon State team, but it's the Pac-12. They always end up cannibalizing each other. This is going to be their second loss. Give me Arizona at home. 3:30 ESPN, Duke's number 20 in the country against 18 Louisville. No, this is not a basketball game. They're playing this one out there on the grass between Mike Elko and Jeff Brohm's teams. Louisville's favored by 4. Their one loss still being just to Pittsburgh in that bad Jeff Brohm loss you can always almost count on, Zach, a few weeks ago. Who wins this one, though, between the Blue Devils and the Cardinals?
Yeah, that loss wasn't fantastic at all. I kind of like Louisville in this one in the pizza box.
In the old pizza box, as we found out a few weeks ago as well there. Corey, who do you like in this one there in Louisville?
Let's go crazy. Let's go Cards.
That's Louisville for Corey and Zach. Coach, Duke's played well this year, but a couple of close losses to Notre Dame and then a bad blowout loss in the fourth quarter that they led going into the quarter against Florida State last week. How do they bounce back on the road against the Cardinals?
Well, you know, I meant to make a phone call this morning and find an injury report on their quarterback.
Yeah.
I didn't get that made, so can you help me out there on the quarterback for Duke?
He was questionable the last time I saw. He wasn't able to finish the game there against Florida State. They don't look the same without him. That's certainly the case because they brought in their backup, and that's when the game sort of got off the rails there against the Seminoles. Last thing I saw was he was questionable.
Yeah, I think, you know, I watched him on the sideline there, and he had a pretty good limp there when he was trying to get back in the game. But, yeah, I think I go with the Cardinals this time. It's going to be a close one. It's going to be a close one, be a good game to watch.
I agree, and I'm going to take Louisville at home as well. I feel dangerous if us all going with the L here. Mike Elko has done a wonderful job there in Durham, taking him really to another level that maybe even David Cutcliffe didn't get him at, although David did get him to an ACC title game back in 2013. But the Riley Leonard health situation is enough for me to stay away for the moment. I'll take Louisville at home as well. 7 o'clock ESPN. Let's head to Kroger Field, Corey. Number 21, Tennessee's coming off a terrible second half against Alabama that we talked about a couple of segments ago. They now travel to Lexington. They're coming off a bye week, but they've lost their last two prior to it in blowout fashion to Georgia and Missouri. Is it Josh Heupel or Mark Stoops walking away with the what used to be the beer barrel game between the Volunteers and the Wildcats?
Well, you know what, Jacob? I prefer Food City over Kroger any day of the week, so I'm going to go with the Vols.
That's good right there. We're doing the Food City game picks. I'm proud of you, Corey. I'm proud of you. Coach, who do you like there in Lexington?
Well, you know, it's I don't know. Both teams 5-2, but, you know, that game last week, Tennessee, I mean, you thought it was Tennessee's time to win in Tuscaloosa, but that second half, I don't know what happened to them. Is that team going to show up this week, or is the first half team going to show up? I believe I'm going with Food City, too. Let's go with the Vols.
You're going to go with Tennessee on the road. Zach, who do you like there between the Vols and the Wildcats?
Yeah, I'm hoping Food City can find my value card. I lost it a few days ago and been a little out of sorts.
You put in the call of loss prevention?
I did. I know a few people there. I'm going to go Tennessee as well. I kind of think they go into the old buggy and get it done.
A couple of things are always certain with me in this life. I like a good coat, Corey. You know that. I like it over ice. You know that as well.
Yes, I do.
A few things I also believe in is this. I could live to be 132. I'm not going to, but I could. That'd be another 106 years for me. I will never, once in my life, ever pick Kentucky to beat Tennessee in football. I won't do it. I picked Tennessee a few years ago when Kentucky was number 10 in the country. I was in the end zone that day. Guess who won? Tennessee. Mark Stoops has beat Tennessee twice in his career in Lexington, that they're going to build him a statue for his wonderful 8-4-year career. He's beat them twice. Both times were against Butch Jones, his final year as a head coach, and Jeremy Pruitt, final year as a head coach. I don't think this year's Josh Heupel's last year in Knoxville. Give me the Vols on the road. 3:30, Fox, Oregon, and Utah. It's where game day's at. They're a top 15 matchup out in Salt Lake City. 3:30 on Fox as the Ducks travel to take on the Utes, or come off the big win over USC last week, Coach. Who do you like out west?
Oh, I've got to go with Utah in this one. I like their offense. You know, throw that football, spread them out, go, go, go. Of course, Oregon has a great offense as well, but, you know, game day's going to be there. Those people are going to be crazy. Yeah, that's one of those where you switch back and forth between the Duke and Utah game.
That's right. And you also have the cocktail party at 3:30, which we weren't going to pick because everybody's going to pick Georgia. But that's also there at 3:30 as well over on CBS if you're going to keep your remote handy with you Saturday afternoon. Zach, I'm not sure there's five coaches in the country I take over Kyle Whittingham, but will he be enough against the Ducks?
I think this one is going to be a sneaky good game. And you know what? I like Utah at home usually, but this week we kind of found out that a few of those players are going to be done for the year. I guess after that loss, they didn't see the need to play after not being in the national championship, what have you. I don't know. So Utah's going to be without a few players. I'm going to go Oregon in a squeaker on the road.
Oregon on the road for Zach Corey. You have the Ducks in your eliminator, but Utah's coming off the win over USC. The Ducks trying to still bounce back from that loss to Washington a couple weeks ago. Who wins in Salt Lake?
Oh, quack, quack, quack. Give me the Ducks.
Oregon on the road for Corey and Zach. I like the Ducks on the road, too. I almost rarely, if ever, pick against Utah on this show. I picked against them a few weeks ago when they lost to UCLA. I was correct. I picked against them when they beat UCLA. I picked them, I should say. And then I picked against them last week, though. It burnt me. Oh, it burnt me bad. But I did pick them to lose to Oregon State, which I got right. I'm going to pick against them again. I'm going to go with the Ducks on the road. I think that maybe Utah just has USC's number because they're still playing with a backup quarterback. Cam Rising's not going to play this year, so I guess we might as well start calling that guy the starting quarterback. But he was never the planned starting QB. I'm going to take Oregon on the road, Boy, I'm going against my SEC beliefs that you never trust Bo Nix outside of his home stadium, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to take Oregon on the road. Northeast Tennessee Week 11 games. They're wrapping up the regular season over there, folks. Let's do Unicoi County on the road at Johnson County. Zach, they're both 6-3. Who wins this county battle, Irwin or Mountain City?
You know my talk about Mountain City. I just love those folks over there. I'm going to go Longhorns at home in this one.
That's a JC for Zach. Corey, you with the Longhorns or the Blue Devils?
Oh, you know how I feel. Anybody that's got a steakhouse named after them, I'm going for them.
That's Johnson County for everybody so far, Coach. When I write down Johnson County, I write down JC. Well, I write down a JC for JC.
Yeah, I think you do. I got to go with their defense. They got a good defense there this year. They're not giving up many points at all. And I think the same thing will hold true Friday night. Go with the Longhorns.
I went against Johnson County last week. I trusted our Southwest Virginia team in Holston. I got burnt bad, 43-6. I can't believe I'm going to do it again. I'm going to pick Unicoi County on the road. I have a lot of respect for their head coach, Drew Rice, over there in Irwin. They've won the last four in this series, five out of the last seven. I think they make it five straight. Give me Unicoi County on the road. I'll go with the road team. I'll sit there by myself on the Blue Devils. I love this matchup. Small schools over in Northeast Tennessee. We keep our eyes so much on the big schools, which we did this week, obviously. We'll get to that in here in a moment as well. But this nice big matchup between the Rebels and the Bulldogs. Give me South Green on the road at Hampton. Corey, who wins between the Rebels of South Green and our old friends in Hampton?
You know what? Like Point Shave and Deion Sanders, you can win with good theme music. Hampton has the best one. Give me a Hampton.
Hampton at home for Corey. Coach, who do you like?
Hey, I like the Bulldogs as well. Coach Lenford's over there. He's done a great job. And I know they've lost two tough ones, but that was back earlier in the year, I believe.
Yep.
I'm going with Hampton.
Yeah, they've been on a roll of recent. Michael Lunsford, the son of Mike Lunsford. Don't get that confused because Mike was there for a long time as well as a terrific coach. And Michael's kept it rolling. Zach, everybody's on Hampton so far. Are you?
Yes. I'm gonna go Hampton at home as well. I'm gonna keep it rolling.
Wow, everybody's on the home team. I'm going to go with the road team again. Give me South Green and Sean Jones. I really like that ball club. They lost an interesting one earlier this year that sort of surprised me, but I think they keep it going, go to 9-1. They're going to host a few playoff games over there before they have to face off against some of the bigger schools over in the Knoxville area in the later on of the postseason. They've won two out of the last three in this series, three out of the last five. Give me Sean Jones and the Rebels over in Carter County Friday night. It's a good time, though, when you go over to Hampton for a Friday night game. I've been there for a couple of evenings, even in a Thursday night game over the years as well. The big battle in Kingsport, Science Hill and Dobbins Bennett, the Hilltoppers, and the Indians taking on each other over there at J. Fred Johnson Stadium. Science Hill's been rolling of late, Coach. Dobbins Bennett, though, after a slow start, has gotten themselves going a little bit as well. You have Stacy Carter and the Toppers or Joey Christian and the Indians in Kingsport Friday night?
You know, this is a big-time rivalry, and in the last, I don't know how many years, Science Hill has dominated it.
Yep.
They're going back to Dobbins Bennett. They won that game right at the end last season. You know, that could happen again. And Dobbins Bennett got off to a terrible start last week. But I think the Tribe, I think they'll come out winners this time, so I'm going to take them over the Toppers. Should be really close, though. Could go down to a field goal.
James Colley going with Dobbins Bennett at home. Science Hill's won the last four in this series, nine out of the last 10 in this series.
Yeah.
Joey Christian only has one win against the Toppers in his career. Zach, who do you like there, Jay Fred, Friday night?
To be honest with you, I don't like either one of them. Anytime we've kind of jumped on their bandwagon this year, they've let us down.
Yeah.
I'm going to give a slight edge to DB and the band at home.
Ooh, the home team is the early picks here on this game. Corey, Dobbins Bennett for Coach. Dobbins Bennett for Zach. How about you?
Lord, yeah. Theme music, keeping with it. Band, let's go Dobbins Bennett.
I'm going with the road team again here, fellas. I'm going Science Hill. Stacy Carter's controlled this series since he got the Johnson City when he left Sullivan South a number of years ago. He continues to do so. And our friends in Big Stone Gap, the Union Bear fans, they're rooting hard for Science Hill. Give them another PowerPoint before Science Hill heads into the postseason next week. They're going to be rooting hard for Science Hill. I'm going to take the Hilltoppers on the road there in Kingsport. And they keep this series rolling in their direction there with the Fighting Steve Spurriers. Final one, we had both of these coaches on the show earlier tonight, Eddie Spradlin of Greenville and Sean Witten of Elizabethton. But who wins this one on Friday night? I'll go over to you, Zach Helton. Who do you like there at Citizens Bank Stadium in Carter County? Green Devils, who are 7-0, or the 8-0 Cyclones?
Oh, man, this is honestly, if I could go to any game Friday night, this would probably be it. Man, give me Betsy. Give me Betsy.
Elizabethton at home for Zach. He deliberated for a while there, Corey. Who you on here?
I think this time a team that has an arena or stadium named Citizen Bank will win. Give me Elizabethton in this one.
Elizabethton for everybody so far. Coach, you with the home team or the road team?
Hey, you've been going with the road team. I've watched these two teams play more than any other high school since I've retired. And, I mean, they get after one another. Well-coached, athletes galore on the field. Just love to coach that many athletes at one time. I think I'm going to go with the road team, and I'm going to go with the Green Devils.
Going to go with Greenville. They've won two out of the last three in this series, although Elizabethton's won five out of the last seven. Interestingly enough, both of the wins that Greenville has in this series recently came at the bank. Elizabethton has gotten most of their wins in the last part of the years on the road in Greenville. I've got a ton of respect for both of these coaches. No, both guys are wonderful to us when we ever send them a text message to reach out to them and check in with them over there across the state line. But I don't know. It's something about that gravelly voice when Sean Witten talks to me. Hey, Jacob, what you doing, buddy? I don't know. I'm going to go Sean Witten and Elizabethton. I think they're going to get the job done. There's something about it right now. When he's a little bit sort of under the radar about his team, he's a little bit whispery about him. It's usually when you can sort of keep an eye on him and say, yep, that's going to be a team that's going to be playing deep into the postseason. I think they're going to be doing so, playing a lot of home games because they're going to win Friday night. Give me Elizabethton at home. I'm going to finally go with a home team there in Northeast Tennessee. Let's head to Southwest Virginia. Virginia High travels to Lebanon. It's a battle of 3-5 teams. It's a battle of teams trying to find their way into the postseason. Right now, as we head into the penultimate week of the regular season, Virginia High is number 8 in the point standings in Region 1D. Lebanon, number 9. This is a big one there in the Southwest District, big one in Region 2D. Corey, we'll start with you. Who wins it, Bearcats or Pioneers?
I don't know. I don't trust any of these teams. So it's on the who do I trust slightly more. With that being said, I'm going to go with Virginia High.
Corey going with Derek Patterson and the Bearcats on the road. Coach, you'll be on the call for this one there on the CW Friday night. Virginia High and Lebanon, who do you like?
This is going to be a good one. I think it's going to be a very close football game. Virginia High's changed quarterbacks there. This guy's been behind the call there for a few weeks, doing a pretty good job. Their offensive line, they got everybody back at one time. I don't know if they've got any injuries right now. I haven't heard that this week. But I think Virginia High, the line's just a little better than Lebanon. Lebanon's got the great quarterback there throwing the ball in Reese. He can throw it all over the field. They got some good receivers. But I think I'm going to give the nod to the Bearcats in a really close one.
Everybody's on Virginia High so far, Zach. The loser of this game locks up a losing season for them. The winner, they like their playoff chances a little bit more, but the loser's not quite out of it yet going into the final week. Who wins this one over there in the Southwest District as Lebanon returns this year trying to make it into the playoffs for them in their first year back in Region 2D?
Well, you know, I think the film on Virginia High is really good, especially that Jenkins game, as powerful as they are. What a slobber knocker that was. But I'm going to go the Lebanese at home. I like the quarterback play there. I think they got a nice young defense. And I feel like they're going to pull this one out.
That Jenkins game really got under your skin, didn't it? It got under
your
skin.
I'm riding
terrible letters to people as we speak about that game.
Oh, boy.
Strongly worded letters.
Zach's taking Lebanon to home. I was on a lot of road teams in Tennessee. I'm going to start off being on a road team here in Virginia. I'm going to go with Coach and Corey. Give me Virginia High and Derek Patterson and the Bearcats on the road. And a win that really will cement their place in the Region 2D playoffs, as they'll be heading on the road for the first week of the postseason, no matter what anyways. Let's head to the Mountain District, fellas, to stay in Region 2D. John Battle's trying to find their way into the postseason at number 10 right now. Lehigh's in a pretty good spot there at number 6, but they'd love to get a nice win because guess what? That ground can get a little shaky underneath you if you lose the 2-6 John Battle. Who wins down a 5-star stadium in Ben Hur, Coach, the Trojans or the Generals?
I think the Generals are going to win this one because they're at home. And like you say, it's a big game. They need this victory to stay in the hunt in the playoffs. And so I'm going to go with the Lehigh Generals.
Lehigh for Coach Zach.
Yeah, I like Lehigh at home. John Battle is going to get pelted with some batteries on the way in, and they're going to take a tough loss.
You're the only one I've ever been told about the batteries. I'm just saying that.
I'm telling you, it happened.
It's been a while.
I was there.
It's been a while, though. It's been a while.
Yeah, it was like 18 years ago.
Well, I didn't want to age you, but if you want to go ahead and do it, that's fine. Corey, who do you like there in Ben Hur between John Battle and Lehigh?
Well, I've heard of General's Chicken. I've heard of Lee's Chicken. I've never heard of John. I've never heard of Battle. I've never heard of Trojan's Chicken. So I'm going to go with Lehigh General.
Going to go with Lehigh. Lehigh's won the last two in this series. They control the all-time series 15-6. Before the last two, though, did you know that John Battle won the previous five? The previous five in this series after Lehigh won 13 out of the first 14 matchups? I'm going to go Joey Carroll, though, locking up at least a 5-win season again and locking in their place in the Region 2D playoffs. Give me Lehigh at home. Let's head to the Hoagie Higgie Region 1D. I like this matchup. Royal Retreat's been rolling. They've moved all the way up to number 4 this week in the Region 1D point standings as they travel over to Damascus to take on Holston, who's falling hard right now. They've dropped all the way to number 7, and they've now lost 3 out of their last 4 games, including that blowout loss to Johnson County, Tennessee last week. Zach, who do you like between the Indians and the Cavaliers?
Well, Royal Retreat stole Ridgeland's logo and now have stole their mojo. So that's something to keep in mind. I like Holston. I like Holston at home, man. I saw Holston play at Honeaker a few weeks ago. And despite the loss, they are a tough team. They run the ball really well. They tackle really well. I think Holston is going to get this win at home.
Holston has won the last 3 in this series. 4 out of the last 5, Corey. Can they keep it rolling against Royal Retreat?
Yes, they can. Yes, they will.
Wow, Holston at home for both Corey and Zach, Coach. Royal Retreat controls this all-time series, and they've been playing really well of late. They still need to make sure they're going to be feeling pretty comfortable going into the postseason, though. How do they do on the road against Holston, setting up that big matchup against Honeaker next week to round out the regular season?
You know, this is one of the few Cavalier teams that I would ever pick and pull for. And
it's cold-blooded, Coach.
Hey, you know, I tell you what, I think Holston wins this at home. I even though Royal Retreat's been playing a little better, but I got to go with Zach and Corey on this, and I got to go with the home team.
Wow, Holston for everybody. I'm going back to the well. Give me the road team again. Give me Royal Retreat. The Indians went on the road and beat Lebanon a few weeks ago. They've been taking care of business on the road. They've been taking care of business at home. Just ask Patrick Henry. I don't care where they're playing at. Give me Royal Retreat to get the 6-3 on the road and certainly keeping them in the conversation for a home playoff game there for the Indians. Let's stay in the Hogo. Chilhowie's 4-4. They're dropping fast, too, but they got a little bit of help last week with a couple other teams losing. They still sit at number 6 in the Region 1D playoff standing, but, boy, there's some tight confines there on the points they're heading into the final 2 weeks. They travel to Patrick Henry to take on the 5-3 Rebels. Corey, who wins between Chilhowie and Patrick Henry?
Yeah, I think Patrick Henry, they're going to bounce back after the loss last week against Honeaker and kind of tee off on our buddies down there near Middle Fork.
Patrick Henry's been a pretty good home team this year, except for the loss last week to Honeaker, which they only lost by 8 points. They held Honeaker the 26 points, Coach. You were there for that when you saw it. How does Patrick Henry fare in their bounce back game at home against Chilhowie?
Hey, I think they do real well. They're going to control the football, good speed, and going to run behind that line. And, you know, that Barrett kid, he's a big guy, and he's a good player. They do a lot of things I like, and they don't throw the ball much. But they got a quarterback. He's got an arm. I mean, you watch him in warm-ups, he can throw the ball. But I think you got to go with the Rebels in this one. I think Goodspeed's going to carry the ball probably about 35 to 40 times and have about 300 yards, and Rebels come away with a win.
Seth Padgett's very honest. If it's up to him, he wouldn't throw the ball one time, not in the game. The entire season, Zach, he wouldn't throw the ball if he didn't have to. Will he need to against Chihuahua, though, or can they roll over the Warriors?
I think they're going to have to put the ball in the air a little bit to pull this one out. But I like PH at home. I think they get back on the right side of things.
Patrick Henry's won the last four in this series, but Chihuahua controls the all-time series. That doesn't matter here, though. Patrick Henry makes it five straight. Give me the Rebels at home. Let's head to the Cumberland. Twin Springs needs a big win here over on the road at Thomas Walker to set up that big matchup against Rye Cove next week. Twin Springs is 7-1. They travel to take on Thomas Walker and Ewing, who sit there at 4-4, Coach. Thomas Walker needs some wins to help out their playoff standing there. Twin Springs just needs some wins to make sure they can still compete for a Cumberland District title in a home playoff game. How's it go for the Titans and the Pioneers down in Ewing?
You know, Twin Springs would be 8-0 right now if they hadn't played Union. They've only lost one game. I got to go with Twin Springs in a big way when they get to Thomas Walker.
Zach, who do you like there between the Titans and the Pioneers?
Well, you know, we're big Cumberland guys.
Absolutely.
You know, we're all about the Cumberland here. I'm with Coach on this one. Twin Springs is a tough team. You know, I think they go on the road and take care of business down at Dr. Thomas Walker's house.
We had three games on our stations last week, two out of three, 66.6% of them were Cumberland District games. That's all I'm saying, Corey. We saw Thomas Walker last week in the tough loss to Eastside. They led for most of that game against the Spartans, but lost 28-18. Tanner Hall and his group needs a big bounce back here against the Titans. Can they find it?
I don't think T. Walker will find it this week. Give me Twin Springs.
Twin Springs on the road for everybody. They've won the last four in this series, five out of the last seven, eight out of the last 11. I think you can add one there, the Twin Springs. They get a big win on the road at Thomas Walker, and Thomas Walker's playoff hopes take a big hit. They needed that win to get some points. I'm not sure they're going to find it, though. We're all on the Titans on the road. Tazzel travels to Graham. Let's play for a Southwest District title, shall we? Zach, who wins this one between two teams you adore? We talk about that Virginia-Miami college game you love so much. This one may be even worse for you. The Bulldogs or the G-Men at Mitchell Stadium Friday night?
Yeah, just hearing those names kind of just make my skin curl a little bit. Here's the fact of the matter. Graham's only loss this year has been in Mitchell Stadium. That was to Union. Tazzel has shown flashes of pretty good this year. Last week, the Creasy kid, the quarterback, threw for almost 500 yards in a win over Giles. But the fact of the matter is Tassel's offense is really good. I think Tassel's offense could surprise Graham a little bit, but I don't think their defense is much. They let a very minuscule Giles Spartan team hang around for too long and run for over 200 yards last week. So, this is going to be a shootout. I think Graham's going to squeak it out in the end, though.
That's Graham at home for Zach. Corey, quickly, who do you like here between the Bulldogs and the G-Men?
Give me Graham.
Tazzel and Graham, everybody's taking Graham so far, Coach. You with them? They're on the G-Men at home?
Yeah, I think you got to go with Graham. And they've got the running back, and they're healthier now than they've been. I think they're going to roll at home.
Graham's won nine straight in this series, 15 out of the last 16. They haven't lost a Southwest District game in over 2,500 days. That's not changing this week. Give me Graham at home. We got to pick up the pace here, fellas. Let's go quick on this one. We got Auburn on the road at the east side. I'll just ask it like this. Anybody want Auburn? As Auburn sits there at 2-6, east side at home, 4-4. Are we all going Spartans? I'm not hearing anybody say so. We're all on east side there. Yeah. We'll do the same thing for this one. Central's 1-7. They've lost a lot of games in a row. That'd be seven straight after beating Eastside. They travel to Gate City. They're 5-3. I'm going to levy out a guess here. We're all going Blue Devils, right?
Oh, yeah.
Blue Devils should schedule Jenkins.
Yeah, they should have, but you know what? Too late for that now. They do have Grundy next week. We'll see if maybe they can pick up a win against a Region 1D opponent there in the Golden Wave. All right, the game we have on our sister station, J.I. Burton and Rye Cove, over on 92.5 and 1220 WLSD. The Raiders and the Eagles in that matchup there, Corey. Who do you like over in the Eagles' nest? Can Rye Cove get a big win over the Raiders once again as they did last year as well?
I like your company, man, Jacob, but Rye Cove all over Burton.
Rye Cove at home. Coach, who do you like there between the Raiders and the Eagles?
You got to go with the Eagles at home, 7-1. They've been doing it all year. One of the best teams in single A in Region D. So, yeah, you got to go with the Eagles.
I'm jumping down the limb here, Zach. I'm guessing you're taking Rye Cove at home.
Sore, Eagle, sore.
I was down there in that area earlier this week. They're pumped for this one. They're getting ready. I saw a hearse outside their football stadium on Friday, on Monday afternoon when I was there. I'm not saying that's an indicator of some things. I'm just saying, let's go Rye Cove at home. All right, the game we have on 93.5 WAXM on Friday night. Corey and I will be there. Union on the road to the Abingdon. This is for a Mountain District title. Union's undefeated in district play. Abingdon's only got one loss. Everybody else has at least two. Union won this game last year 37-0. Coach, how does it fare this time, though, for the Bears on the road at Falcon Stadium?
Hey, this is going to be a closer game than some people think because Abington, their offensive line is big. They come off the ball well. They've really improved since the beginning of the season. They put a hurting on a team last week from Dickinson County, I tell you, putting 49 points on the board. They're not going to do that against Union's defense. Union's looked tough all year. I got to go with the Bears in a close one. It's going to be closer than some people think, I believe.
I'm hoping for that. We need a close game on the station this year. We've only got one game this year that's been decided by a touchdown or less. That was the Union Ridgeview game. Zach, how does this one fare for us Friday night in Washington County?
I don't have much faith in the Falcons. I think Union goes in and gets it done, but I do think it's a little closer than people expect.
Corey, we all liked Ridgeview last week against Abingdon. Boy, were we all wrong. Abingdon won that game 49-14. We were on the call for that one between the Falcons and the Wolfpack. How does it fare this time when the Bears come to town?
Oh, Lord. The Bears have had an extra week, though. They've had an extra week to prep. And, Abingdon going this one hot like fish grease. So, with that being said, I'm kind of the mind of Coach. Union in a close one.
We're all on the Bears. I am as well. I like Union on the road, but I agree. I think this will be a good game. I'm hoping for a big game on Friday night there between the Bears and the Falcons. It should be a dandy. Maybe a lot of running the ball. Maybe a lot of Keith Chandler for the Bears. Owen Barr for Abingdon. We'll have to see how it all goes. James Colley, thank you so much, as always, for being our Eastman Credit Union guest picker coach. Safe travels over to Virginia High in Lebanon, and good luck on the picks.
Yeah, Jacob, I appreciate it, and just want to say thanks to you, Corey, and Zach. Y'all have a great show, and I love the post-game show on Friday night, getting all the scores in there. I'll be listening to y'all this week.
Hey, appreciate you, Coach. Appreciate Everybody it. Will certainly be keeping a close eye on your all's game as well. Thanks so much to James Colley for joining us tonight. Thanks so much to Eddie Spradlin at Greenville, Sean Witten, Elizabeth, and Travis Turner at Union, and Garrett Ambergy from Abingdon for joining us previewing their games on Friday night. Also for Kenny Albert from the NFL on Fox for joining us this week as well to talk about his new book, A Mike for All Seasons. Again, that's out there wherever books are being sold. He and Jonathan Villman, Shannon Spake will be on the call for Vikings and Packers this Sunday on Fox. Corey, Zach, we'll do it again next week, fellas, as we'll wrap up Tennessee and Kentucky regular season and get you set for the final week of the regular season in Virginia next Thursday night. We're back with you at Pigskin Picks every Thursday at 8 o'clock, the re-air on Friday at 5 o'clock usually, but tomorrow the re-air is at 6. We'll just have the pick segment for you because of the remote we're having there on the station tomorrow, so a little bit of a different schedule for that, but we will have Union and Abingdon for you tomorrow night, J.I. Burton and Ryko for you on WLSD, and UVA Wise and Morris Hill on Saturday, pregame 12:30, kickoff at 1 between the Cavaliers and the Lions. We'll talk to you though next Thursday night. For Corey Sanchez, Zach Helton, I'm Jacob Townsend. It's Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM.
Thanks for listening to Pigskin Picks, brought to you by Food City, Eastman Credit Union, and Delegate Terry Kilgore. Pigskin Picks is a production of Valley Broadcasting and Communications.